News Junkie is on.
The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day.
The News Junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
The News Junkie for a Wednesday, February 21st, 2018. Lots to get to today. From
strong start.
Lots to get to today from Is This the Worst U.S. Olympic Team Ever? I'll tell you why I was distracted in just a second here. To Why Is Some Kid in Indonesia Laying Eggs? And the man who tipped off the FBI about the school shooter. Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Happy hump day.
Hey, C-Lane.
Good morning.
I'm distracted because they were just showing on CNN, which almost never distracts my attention away from the show other than just kind of seeing what's happening for a second or two. A huge crowd outside of a school, and they're doing these protests about the Parkland school shooting, and some of the student walkouts are happening today. I mean, I knew there was one going on in March, but some of them are happening today. And the reason why I was distracted and looked over, my son's school is participating in this today.
Is he there?
He's not at this one. I mean, this is Tallahassee they're showing now, but they're doing it at a bunch of different schools. And I know this because I got a call this morning and I said, who's that? Let me answer. And it was his school, which is called G-Star. And the guy who leaves the messages sounded so like pissed off that the students were doing a walkout.
Oh, wow.
It was like, attention, G-Star parents. The students have decided to do a walkout today. The school fully supports them. And so there's a school's jumping the gun. Oh, I don't want to say jumping the gun there, do I? But I guess getting ahead of the pack and doing their own protests. And yeah, my son's school is one of these that's participating today. And I was talking to him about it a little bit. And he said there's some kids who appear to be serious about this and are emotional about what's happening. He said there's a lot of other kids who are just utilizing it as a time to get out of class and they don't give a damn about any of this. And they go in there, pretend for a moment or two. So basically, it's like any other class or school anywhere in the country where you got a mix of people with different motivations for why they're walking out today. But already some footage of that stuff happening in the state of Florida where these high schools are emptying out. Many of the schools fully in participation with the students. In the case of my son's school, they said they were going out. There's going to be a rally with some speeches from students. It will last all of about 30 minutes or so. And then they'd escort them back into the classroom and get on with the day. And all this happens as these Parkland school shooting survivors are at the state capitol in Tallahassee today going to talk to the politicians there and demanding action on guns, gun control, and all the rest.
What's this countdown about, though? It says the students of Stoneman Douglas demand action in 9 hours?
That's the thing that they're doing on CNN. I guess they're doing like a town hall where everybody gets to ask questions, and they're going to have some experts talk about this stuff, and they're going to do their own program there to tap into what everybody's got going on right now. Let's talk to Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, Sean. Good morning, and crew. Hey, I want to report. My daughter just called me. Said they're doing a walkout at Space Coast Junior Senior High School in Brevard County, and they're all going home.
Wait, they're just going home completely?
Completely.
Hmm.
Wow. The other schools are actually doing like some sort of little event with a speech and stuff. You sure they're not going back to class after?
No, she said she's going home, and a lot of other students are going home, too.
And what do you think about that?
I'm working, so I just told her to go home and clean house.
kind of a form of protest, right?
You're going to put her to work when she gets back there?
Yeah, that's right.
So, Eric, how old's your daughter?
She is 16.
Yeah. See, that seems to be about the age group there. Thank you for the call. There's a lot of kids right there in their teenage years that are heavily involved in this, of course, because the school that was the center of this latest shooting is high school. And it seems to be affecting those kids the most, or they seem to be the ones who want to rally behind what's happening here. Lots of motivations, lots of things happening. We'll keep an eye on it throughout the day. I'm also dying a little bit today.
What happened?
I woke up and I knew something was a little bit different because I have a new thing in my routine. I don't often put new things in my routine. But I did that recently because it started getting cold all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So now I wake up and I get out of bed and I go through the living room and I open the sliding glass door and put my arm outside. Is it cold? Is it hot?
That's a good move.
It's a really dumb move because I only needed it for 2 weeks and that's over with. Now it's just every day it's going to be hot. I don't necessarily need it anymore.
That's how I feel when I bought the Alexa. I'm like, I'm going to use it for so many things. The only thing I ever ask is how the weather is.
Or Jeopardy. You use it
That's
for that.
That's true, yeah.
Well, I knew something was different. I started sneezing as soon as I opened that damn sliding glass door. And then I started to look into this. The pollen in Central Florida right now. Are you allergic to pollen too, Sabrina?
Oh, ridiculously allergic to it.
A lot of people are. The pollen in Central Florida is right now the highest in the entire country.
Yay.
It's the highest pollen count in the entire nation. And doctors are saying this is one of the worst allergy seasons ever. And my voice and my like throat and everything's been a little off. As of the last month or so.
It just makes me stuffy.
It does.
It makes the whole nose just kind of backed up.
Have you been to the allergist or the allergy doctor?
No. I've never had a scratch test or any of that. I just kind of know certain things that affect me. I know that real Christmas trees give me kind of a thing during the season.
Yeah.
So I avoid them now. And pollen, you know, whenever... whenever any of the allergens, like the very common allergens, are elevated, I'm going to be in need of some Claritin D.
Well, they do a pollen index, and they say right now our pollen count is as high as it can get. The count goes up to 12, and we're right there. We're like
we're at 12.
Yeah, we're pinned at 12. You can basically just look in the air and see the pollen right now. So if you're having one of those months here, and you got like a scratchy throat that won't go away, you got... sneezing, you got that kind of stuff. That's exactly what it could be. The reason why, though, experts say the main culprits are oak trees, according to Wesch. Combined with Florida's cool nights, warm days, and a lack of rain and wind, it's creating the perfect storm for pollination. Therefore, the pollen is all up in the air, and we're sitting there at about 12 on the damn pollen scale. And
good to go.
Everybody's dying, so now you know why you're dying. Speaking of dying, we're dying out there, folks. The USA generally dominates the world. We are like the Harlem Globetrotters, and everybody else is like the Washington Generals when it comes to the Olympics.
Yeah. Better believe it.
We take all the medals. We take all the gold. We have the best athletes. We suck this year.
Not doing so good.
It is really not a good thing. Our ice skaters, our ice dancers, anything on ice, our skiers are doing okay. We are just really suffering in this Olympics. And the Russians, who aren't even on an official team, they're OAR. They are Olympic athletes from Russia, which the band OAR has been... going nuts about trying to respond to people who think somehow they're involved in sponsoring these athletes.
We're still here, guys.
And they're kicking ass. They've done the best at about a dozen sports or so at this point in time. They got 15-year-old Russians out there who are getting 82.9s on the ice when the U.S. is turning in 64.01s.
Don't we normally excel in the summer games?
I think we're better at summer sports, but we usually do good at all of them.
Yeah, we're the United States, damn it.
Yeah, but there's certain countries that are warmer countries that it's weird when they send people to the winter games, like that guy from Mexico. Like
the Jamaican bobsled team?
Or the Jamaican bobsled team. And then there are certain there are certain countries that are the colder ones that they tend to excel at the colder sports. We are a big country with cold states and warm states, but I mean, I think a lot of times it's the superstars we put up are during the summer games, the Ryan Lochtes and the Michael Phelps.
Yeah, but how are we doing? Can you look up the Olympics medal count? I think we have not done quite this bad in a long time. And you know why? It's your fault. Everybody is ignoring the Olympics. We're not rooting on the players.
We're not doing good.
They feel that. And the pressure of just being alone out there makes them not even want to win gold medals anymore.
And we're in the last stretch, too. I think it's over, the 25th, 26th?
Pretty soon. Yeah, very soon.
America has 6 gold. The first is Norway with 13.
Oh, no.
I mean, we are really behind.
We're not in second, then?
No, we're in fifth. We have 16 medals.
Fifth place? Oh, my
United States of losers!
Now, All right, I take back what I said, because in the 2014 Winter Olympics, United States came out on top, 28 medals.
28!
9 gold, 7 silver, 12 bronze.
Hey, what happened to us? What is going on? This country needs to have a revival moment. We need to say, let's send our positive energy to the athletes out there in Pyeongchang and let them know we feel them, we're rooting for them, and we want to bring home more gold.
Yeah, and get your act together. What are you guys all doing it over there with the thousands of condoms?
That might be it. When our entire hall of medals can fit in like one briefcase, we have not done very well for the Olympics. That is not good. 6 gold, how many silver?
4.
4 silver. Do we have any bronze?
6.
6.
Okay.
Yeah. So total, the U.S. is 16 medals, Netherlands 16. So we're tied with them.
We're tied with the Netherlands.
Yeah, well, we're tied with them for how many medals, but they have more
gold.
Silver.
No, silver, you're right. And then Canada has 21 total, Germany 24, and Norway 73.
Unbelievable. Get it together, U.S. We've got some time left here. We really need to at least get up there in the top three. If we're not the best country anymore, we can at least break into the top three so we can feel good about ourselves and have our heads high as we head home from the Winter Olympics that nobody watched. To your dispatches and more when we come back. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Cooking up today's lead stories. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson. And I'm still buzzing from last night.
As the Olympics comes to a close, very, very soon they'll be shutting things down in Pyeongchang. I think the reporters should also head home with their heads hanging low, just like the athletes. I don't know what the hell's going on. The worst year ever. The athletes are just not stepping up. But the reporters should be ashamed of themselves, too. And I'll explain why here. Actually, I'll prove to you with Exhibit A, only exhibit I need, I'll prove to you that these reporters are monsters. They go up to the athletes, and they love nothing more than getting them to cry. And this is nothing new. This is what reporters kind of try to do. They try to get some emotional reaction from whoever they're talking to. But the idea that they throw in stuff about people who died is so weird to me.
That's a little kind of distasteful, I think.
That would be like me going up to you and going, C-Lane, today's a great day, right? Hey, tell me what it felt like when your grandma died. So why are you doing this? Why right now, when this person is at the top of their game, or at least at the Olympics, and in this great event, and they're through the moon about everything, are you going to talk about when somebody died? And Lindsey Vonn, you guys know who Lindsey Vonn is, right?
Yeah.
I know her parts, too.
She is, was she in one of those celebrity nude league things?
Isn't that Tiger Woods' ex?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were part of, like, the Fappening Three, and it was both of their nude pictures leaked, and she did the whole Hope Solo angle.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
That's never a good angle.
Fappening Three.
Lindsey Vonn.
Still Fappening.
She's out there. She's on the slopes. This is, I guess, the last time she's going to compete in the Olympics. So she's already emotional, and the reporter goes, let's talk about your dead grandpa. Let's talk about it. And she's literally happy the sentence before.
This is amazing, and I'm so proud.
You have said that since your grandfather passed away in the fall, that this was for him. You wore his initials, DK, on your helmet. How much were you inspired by his memory today?
It's been really hard for me not to get emotional for so many reasons, especially because of my grandfather, and I wanted to win so much because of him.
That's the favorite moment ever in time for a reporter when you stop talking.
The producer is in the reporter's ear like, good, good. Yeah, uh-huh. Keep going. Come on.
Can you bring up a dead grandma, too? Can you bring up, like, somebody else who died recently? Maybe bring up Tiger Woods.
Pull out that picture of her dead grandpa that you had in your pocket. Go ahead and show it to her.
She's doing the whole, like, pause, stutter.
I don't think she's going to shed a whole lot of tears bringing up Tiger Woods.
Not that one, but the grandpa thing's getting.
But I still think I made him proud, and our family never gives up, and I never gave up. I kept working hard, and I'm really proud of this medal, and I know he is, too.
I know your entire family is so proud of you. You have said this is your last Olympic downhill
okay,
race.
Okay, so now I've asked you about dead grandpa. Let me talk about how this is the last time you're ever going to compete in the Olympics. Because I got tears out of you, but I think I can go for full-on sob.
Yeah, but at something like the Olympics where you just won a medal, it's something very life-changing and very, it's a very emotional moment anyway. So it's sort of like there's a bunch of gasoline on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And all you need to do is light a match and throw it in the right spot because she's getting ready to cry at some point anyway. We might as well speed up the process by dead grandpa talk.
Are you saying it's just too tempting to leave alone?
I'm saying it's just too easy.
It's right there and they're going for it.
What memory will stand out the most to you?
I gave it my best shot, you know? I tried so hard and I worked my butt off. And I'm so proud to have competed with such amazing girls. You know, my teammates have really supported me, and we've helped each other. Most of us have been injured pretty severely, so...
All right, come back around.
You know, I'm really happy and proud to have been competing with them and to have their support, and it's been fun.
Yeah, all right, I haven't heard the very end of this clip. I hope the reporter now goes, well, you've had such an amazing career... Good on you. You've done so well, and you've made America proud in your performance. But something tells me we're going to hit the gas pedal again, talk about dead people, or get some more waterworks going, because that's what they're going for. I think they have, like, a dry erase board, NBC does, in a trailer somewhere set up for this broadcast for the Olympics. And they go, Dave, it looks like you only have two cries and one anger outburst
here.
Dave, you got to step it up because Samantha's got 14 cries and she's really outdoing you at this Olympic Games. They've got their own Olympics going on. Let's see where they go.
It's been a fun ride and I hope tomorrow I can maybe pull something out of the hat. But it's sad. This is my last downhill. I wish I could keep going, you know?
The reporter's doing the worst thing you could possibly do. Hold out the microphone and wait it out.
I want to hear that snot.
She's going, she's talking, and she's going to like get more and more emotional, and you're supposed to bring the microphone back and go, well, that's really an emotional moment for you, blah, 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 talk about something. No, you just leave the mic out there to their lips, just pressed against her mouth, and get more out of it.
I have so much fun. I love what I do. My body just probably can't take another 4 years, but I don't know. I'm proud. I'm proud to have competed for my country. I'm proud to have given it my all, and I'm proud to hopefully come away with a medal.
You've given every ounce of yourself to this sport. Lindsay, thank you, and congratulations on all your successes.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
Gotta keep the camera on her.
You can see how much these games meant to Lindsay Vonn, and you can see how much...
She's
one
crying.
Last medal in her favorite race, the Olympic downhill.
I have some from the other day.
Means to her as well.
So pathetic.
Just immense.
They're sitting there zooming in on her cheeks.
Why?
As the tears roll down.
It's terrible. It makes me uncomfortable. And we're not even watching it.
You're terrible. To the media, you're terrible. I know what you're doing. And just please rethink some of this stuff.
They asked her dad about the bronze medal that she got.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't seem as...
Oh no, was he coming down on her for not getting
thrilled?
Lindsay had one job, as gold.
So
I can't imagine winning an Olympic gold or an Olympic medal and your family being like, ugh, this one's boring.
Alan Kildo is her dad's name, and he told USA Today Sports. He said, it's great skiing, but it reminds me of something that Buddy Werner used to say, and that's a U.S. skier from the 50s. He said, there's two places in the race, first and last, and I only want one of them.
This is like, you know what it sounds like? Ricky Bobby's dad from the Will Ferrell movie.
You're not first, you're last.
He was saying she needed to be more aggressive, just little spots, just not quite risking enough, not straightening the line out, just the ski was a little
Dad.
Carving in some places like it should have, but a great result. Great result.
Of course, yeah, proud of her, whatever.
All she got was the bronze. You know what? A lot of people don't get that. So let her be proud as she wraps things up. And no more crying from these people. There's enough to cry about just looking at the overall medal tallies that we were talking about. Jesus, man. There is some real, true, serious news to talk about before we get into just a couple of dispatches sent through the News Junkie app. And this is to our brethren over in the United Kingdom. You know, we have people all over the world that listen to this show. People in London, people all over the UK. And I'm feeling for you right now. And that is because they have a very significant KFC shortage underway right now.
What?
Oh, no.
In the UK, all the KFCs, the Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurants, are shut down in the UK because they have a new shipping company that screwed up and they won't be able to open up for a month.
What?
A month. So they're out there and freaking out, these people who are big fans of KFC. And I grabbed this clip because I love it. It's really quick, and I don't know if it has the same impact on everybody else. But I love this clip because the media in the UK is covering this like it's a big story, the great KFC shortage of 2018. And they go to KFC, and people still keep showing up, and they're driving through in their cars, and they're just out of their mind angry.
They don't have, like, a contingency plan. They can't just serve side dishes for a while. They're going to be KSD.
I think they're short on those, too.
All right.
I think they're absolutely short on the chicken, the D, the C, all the different things that they could probably give to these customers. But there's a lady in a car. This lady's a big fan of KFC. And she pulls up. And she's angry that KFC is shut. And the reporter talks to her. And she goes, I even had to go to Burger King. And she was like so upset.
Oh, no.
That she had
to... Poor Burger King.
Burger King's like the butt of the joke here. Here it is.
A bizarre story of our times. After KFC runs out of chicken, the police are forced to warn people to stop calling. It's not an emergency.
Not. I've had to go to Burger King.
She said, can you believe this? I've had to resort to going to Burger King. And in defense of Burger King, that big-ass chicken sandwich that they got, they still got that thing, you know, like they have the long chicken sandwich.
Yeah, like the submarine.
Uh-huh, that thing is awesome.
I didn't think it was long anymore. I thought they made it just the regular size.
Oh, if they changed that. They have both options now?
Mm-hmm.
That was the best part about it. But she says, I've had to go to KFC.
A bizarre story of our times. After KFC runs out of chicken, the police are forced to warn people to stop calling. It's not an emergency.
I've had to go to Burger King.
I'm going to Burger King.
It's very, very difficult what these folks are dealing with. You have no idea what they're going through at this moment in time as they deal with this very, very important shortage of Kentucky Fried Chicken over there in the UK. I didn't know they were such big fans, but I guess they are. I got stuck in a rabbit hole on the internet the other day looking through YouTube where somebody did food videos from all the famous fast food restaurants in the United States, but they went to all the different, like the KFC in London would be one, or the you'd go to like China and go to a Pizza Hut, and they showed you what the experience was like there. I got lost in that, man. Did not have to go to Burger King, though. So
I'm going to Burger King, and I'm not happy about it.
She's very upset.
I've always been sort of intrigued by the fact that there's a KFC on Marsh Harbor in the Bahamas. And I'm like, I wonder
what's happening in there, right?
I heard it's popular as hell.
They have all kinds of stuff. It's probably different and special. We have to go next time. If there's a next time, we're going to that place.
I always like reading some of the different offerings that McDonald's has around the world because I think it's fascinating. And while some people think that it would be such a travesty to travel abroad and just eat at a fast food restaurant, there are some things that I kind of want to try.
Yeah.
That is available over there and not available
over here. I would want to do that.
Yeah.
Just to compare the two. All right, when we come back, we'll get to those dispatches. That's coming up next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Our wall is waiting for all your insights. Not fit for radio broadcast. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting SeacoastBank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Radio. Download the app and earn a badge that matches your corrupt soul. The News Junkie.
Some more of these walkouts across the country, well, mostly in the state of Florida, and a lot of them are in the South Florida area. And the students are going out, and they're having speeches. They're talking about the shooting down there in Parkland and what's next, and there's a lot of stuff that's going on. This was not one that I was aware of until actually when I pulled into the parking lot at iHeartMedia, and I got a phone call, and it was my son's school. And it said, you know, attention all parents and students, explain the whole thing. And then I see there's a bunch of aerial footage. Wait until the day when everybody, every high school in the country is doing this. It'll take over for quite some time because of the footage and how powerful it can be. But the kids from the school where this all took place are up in Tallahassee, and they're trying to talk to politicians. I guess they just got turned away from the Senate president's office. They were told appointments only there, which I don't know. Somebody tells me before the end of the day that'll turn around and they'll make some time for them. But before I get into these dispatches, I want to talk about something completely and totally unrelated here. I saw a story about how something is making a comeback, and I think I'm fully in support of this. Now, I've never done this, but I think I'm fully in support of the movement that's going on now. And they say that the bidet is making a comeback in the United States of America.
Really?
The bidet was a really big deal in houses that were built in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And you'd have your toilet, and then right next to it, you'd have your bidet, and everybody knows how that whole thing works.
I've only ever used one toilet that had a bidet. It was sort of an add-on. And
one of the ones you buy on Amazon or something?
I think it might have been just a plumbing project from the person who owns the house. But it was, I was like, is that a bidet? I wasn't using it to where the bidet would have helped me out.
Oh, see, I was going to ask you what your verdict was on it, because I think I'm fully supporting this.
I've used one once, and then I've been attacked by two of them.
Attacked?
Because you don't realize the power of which a bidet can give out until you're looking over the toilet and pressing the button and you're getting bidet right in the face. But when I was actually successfully able to use it, I felt great underneath.
I remember my friend at the end of the street growing up, Brian, his parents had one in their bathroom. And I was always perplexed by it because we didn't have one. I didn't know anybody else who had one. And he would have the knobs on the side, obviously, where you turn the water on. And you're right. You could hit the ceiling with the water stream out of that thing. Like, it was jet-powered all the way up to the top. Mm-hmm. But I think this is great. Think about that. You're not going to have to use toilet paper. That's fantastic. It's good for the environment, right? Also, the most embarrassing thing probably you have to put in your shopping cart on the regular. Uh-huh. Is everybody's rolling around with that in their shopping cart. And you know what everybody's going to do with it at the end of the day. You start judging people. How many ply do they need? There's a lot of stuff that goes on there. Plus,
you judge people with their toilet paper?
Well, I mean, look. If you see an attractive person at, let's say, a Publix ceiling, and you go, wow, look at her, and then she's holding a gigantic thing of toilet paper, it makes your mind swerve in another way. You think about things. Immediately think about
she's going to be clean down there.
You think about somebody pooping immediately. That's where it goes, at least for me.
Yeah, I guess I don't immediately think that because I have to use it for both.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the most intimidating experiences when shopping is trying to pick the right toilet paper. Because they don't have, the scratch and sniff option like they do for Febreze.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to flake off until I've already bought 40 rolls of it and now I'm stuck.
It is a whole aisle, and the things are so bad. All of these things. It's bad for the environment, I'm sure. Bad for your plumbing. Definitely bad for your plumbing, without a doubt. And I think it's time that does happen. The bidet makes a comeback. And they say more and more new construction is requesting these. And also, it's been very successful in terms of the aftermarket sales on sites like I was talking about, like on Amazon and stuff, where people are buying these. I've never used one in my life, but I think I could be converted. I think I could change everything and get into the world of bidets.
I don't know if I could.
You don't think so?
I'm not a fan of using moisture to clean down there.
You don't want it to be all wet?
Yeah, like
they have dryers.
I don't like
they have
wet
dryers.
Yes.
What?
Some of them have dryers.
Okay.
I don't like wet wipes down there.
We have to evolve as people, and the Japanese are kicking our ass. They're kicking our ass in a lot of things. But in toilets, I think it's not even a conversation. They're clearly kicking our ass in toilets. They have toilets with all of these different pieces of technology that have, like, playlists and Spotify and iHeartRadio, of course, which you'll use instead of Spotify.
Yeah.
And heaters. Oh, man. I think I could be won over by that world. And you spend a little longer there, probably. You can't rush through things. But you never have that moment where you go, oh, the roll's empty. And then you open up the cabinet underneath the sink and you go, oh, there's none there.
Or in my case, when you waddle over to the opposite corner of the bathroom where the toilet paper is kept.
That's risky, man. There? That's risky.
Of all the options, you could put it next to you somewhere.
Usually I keep one on the shelf above me, but then I forget to replace the one on the shelf above me, and then it's waddled to the opposite corner of the bathroom.
And you could also end up in what I call strike three territory, which has only happened to me once or twice. That's when you check the roll. Strike one, nothing there. Then you look underneath the sink in the bathroom, strike two. Then you do the waddle walk, and you go into the storage room where all your stuff is, and you go, oh, my God, there's none at all.
Paper towel time.
Paper towel time.
Or like, nobody's home to bring you something, and you're like, what can I use as toilet paper?
All of these things and many more reasons make this comeback of bidets very, very good for everybody. Let's talk to Tyler. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, Sean. How you guys doing? Oh,
you sound tiny, Tyler.
I don't know. Maybe I am. Don't be so judgmental.
I'm sorry. My apologies. Go ahead.
Like, for instance, speaking of being judgmental, why are you judging people's toilet paper? Everybody poops. Who cares?
Everybody does poop, Tyler, but everybody also looks at people, and you judge. You do this.
No, you judge, Sean.
All right. Tyler, have you ever been walking, driving, moving around town and seen an attractive girl lean over and pick up the poop that her dog just dropped?
Yes.
Are you judging that? Does it bring down some points?
Why would it bring down?
No, it's clean and attentive and cares about other people.
Oh, man.
I have to agree with him. I feel like that's, look at that, a responsible gal. Because there's a bunch of other poop right next to her.
I would be more angry if she just did it and left it behind. Thank you, Tyler. But it's just, there's something about this. It makes you think, and then you think about things you don't want. And this is because I'm kind of closed off in that area. Be honest, this is not a conversation I have with a girlfriend. We don't talk about this. We're not one of the couples where somebody's going to the bathroom and the other person sits on the counter in the bathroom and talks to them. None of that stuff. So maybe it's something I've got here.
I keep threatening to, just to be like, all right, we're crossing this bridge right now.
I couldn't do that.
And then I get told to... I get told where to go.
Yeah. We're on the P level, but we both understand that when the door is closed, that means private time.
Yeah, the P level I could understand. I could get with that. But the other level, not so much. Let's talk to Pat. Go ahead, Pat.
Pat?
Pat, are you there?
Pat, come in.
Patrick.
Oh, we lost him. I'm sorry, Patrick.
Rest in peace, Pat. Yeah. He was probably using a bidet.
He had the greatest comment, I'm sure. Let's go over to the dispatches instead, though. Here's I Have an English Accent with a dispatch.
Sean, speaking from a black guy from the UK, it's going to be crazy out there. If they don't get their chicken, they're going to go crazy. And they ain't got Popeyes out there. Terrible.
Wait, they don't have Popeyes in the UK?
I guess not.
I like Popeyes, actually.
They don't have, like, a UK chain of chicken, I would have to imagine
chickens there.
I would have to imagine that, like, there's a bunch of chains of restaurants that they just don't have in the U.S. that haven't made it over. It can't be just we're the only country that has fast food and we're exporting it all over
And if there's such a desire for fried chicken in the U.K. with the shortage that had that lady just so upset that she had to go to Burger King, you heard this.
A bizarre story of our times. After KFC runs out of chicken, the police are forced to warn people to stop calling. It's not an emergency.
I've had to go to Burger King.
Believe that?
I've had to go.
Burger King. If that's the case, and everybody wants KFC so bad, why wouldn't a competing chain say, we can make some fried chicken?
Exactly. Put an online campaign saying, we're on our way, we're here to rescue you guys. Or they just make up a brand new chain called KFC, but it stands for Kingdom Fried Chicken.
Change the letters a little bit. You'd be fine. They're not going to sue you, are they? Here's Afflicted.
Hey, news junkies. Just to touch base on the United States performances at the Olympics. You guys are playing on Team USA. Let's represent the United States of America and maybe not try to just make the next headline and make everything so political, because I honestly think that's what's going on and they're focusing on that and not their actual talents and skills that they have.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I think that's how it should really go. Okay, sorry.
What was that?
Let's go back
to that.
I'd
like to know what that is.
Is he okay?
He nearly died at the end. Afflicted. What happened there? Hang on. Let me zoom right into the end here where he started to have some sort of issue with his dispatch.
That they have. But I don't know. Maybe I think that's how it should really go. Okay, sorry. All right, I'm out.
You could see that something was going wrong because he sounded like he was like balancing and about to fall over with the points that he was making. And then I heard what sounded like a broom falling onto a tile floor. So my guess. One more time.
Let's that they have. But I don't know. Maybe I think that's how it should really go. Okay, sorry. All right, I'm out.
Oh, wow.
So I'm looking up what the popular food chains in the UK are.
Uh-huh.
According to research, this is according to HelloMagazine.com.
All right.
This is not going to sound right to you, but according to research, the top five burger chains in the UK are Five Guys, Nando's, McDonald's, KFC, and Burger King.
KFC?
KFC?
They have burgers in
there? I know.
I don't think they do. I just, that's how much the UK loves KFC.
Wow.
Unless
they're making burgers over there. Or the UK people are just very confused about what a burger actually is.
Could be.
They don't necessarily know.
A chicken sandwich does not count as a burger.
I wouldn't say so. Here's Bloodmouth.
All right. Let's try this again. Been trying for freaking weeks now. To no avail. No one will respond or even acknowledge that I'm trying to get this through to you guys.
We're listening.
Hello.
You turned me on to some really good shows before. I just wanted to return the favor. So for probably like 3 weeks now, I've been trying to tell you to go watch Altered Carbon on Netflix.
Everybody's
talking
about
this. Awesome show. It was great. Literally, if you go and look at like my past probably 9-10 dispatches, it's all me screaming at you to watch Altered Carbon.
Everybody has been talking about this. I've heard a lot of people ask, hey, are you watching this? Which is, you know, a show is not good, but probably really good when that happens. Because they're so excited about the show, they want somebody else to watch it just so they can talk to them about the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a sign that this must have been really damn good. And the story sounds cool, everything. I'll watch it this weekend, Bloodmouth. I'll check that out because I've heard so many people recommending Altered Carbon on Netflix. So I'm going to check that out. Well, I'm sure everybody will get to it eventually. Sounds like a good show. Here's Fumunda.
Good morning, Sean, C-Lane, and Sabrina. Good
morning.
Hey, I'd like to say to C-Lane, shout out, kudos for getting that podcast.
Shout out to kudos?
In a timely manner. Felt as I started listening to it like I might have been in a Quentin Tarantino movie, since the first two segments were out of order.
Mm-hmm.
But no worries. Still worked. Peace out, chapoops.
That's fixed, right?
I tried to fix it. I haven't checked to see if it actually worked. But our system here, like our websites and the iHeart, is really good when you put up stuff the first time.
Uh-huh.
Put up stuff the first time, it's instantly available on See It Now. It's when you try to change something that they're just, we're good.
It'll say like in an hour this will update, or you know, 15 minutes the change will go through.
So I did what I thought I needed to do to change it. Next time I could just, the whole podcast is there. Most people have figured that out by now.
All you have to do, I don't think this is that inconvenient, is scroll forward 12 minutes, listen to the first segment, scroll back to the beginning, listen to the second segment, then scroll past both of them and listen to the third segment and the rest of the show in order. Is that too much to ask?
I don't think so.
Or it'll be like that backwards episode of Seinfeld, or like Quentin Tarantino movies, like the guy said, and you'll hear the first segment after the second segment, and just things will just click.
It'll all fall together. I think. SpaceX is doing some stuff today. Well, they were trying earlier, and they had to actually scrub the launch, I believe. They're sending up two experimental SpaceX satellites. The two satellites are going to test aspects of something called Starlink, which is awesome. You guys know about Starlink?
No.
I do not.
Starlink is going to bathe planet Earth in high-speed internet access everywhere in the around the globe.
What? We'll like, be able we to could get use
this.
It?
Yeah, everybody will be able to use this. And, of course, I'm sure they're going to end up selling it or something. But it'll be satellite internet access. So if you're in the middle of the desert in Nairobi, desert there? Hope so. If not, hold your text. If you're in Iceland, if you're in Antarctica, you have internet access.
That's amazing.
Via satellite. Unfortunately, there was some weather issues, I believe. Yeah. There is some other stuff going on that they're not talking about that are inside these rockets that they're launching. The Falcon 9 rocket, at least. And the other stuff that's in there, they're keeping secret, but they say the scale of the proposal, formerly known as Starlink, is incredible. In the coming years, the company hopes to launch 4,425 interlinked broadband internet satellites into orbit, some 700 to 800 miles above Earth, plus another 7,500 spacecraft into lower orbits. God, it's going to get crowded up there. 12,000 satellites. And that's more than twice the number of all satellites launched in history. We're going to double the amount of satellites in space. Well, I guess triple. We'll have a lot of satellites is the bottom line up in space as a result of this. But it will be a project to bring internet access to everybody. That's what Elon Musk does with his monies. He does all kinds of incredible things like that. The guy from Amazon, have you heard what he's doing right now?
No.
Jeff Bezos? What a weird waste of money. I'll tell you about this when we come back. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You can listen to the Monsters in the Morning on iHeartRadio. And now you can watch them every day on the new iHeart Monsters YouTube channel by going to monsters.fm. And listen every weekday morning on Real Radio 104.1. From the... Yo. Mainlining today's top stories. You're listening to the News Junkie, Sean Watson.
So we should have about 12:15 or so. The guy who contacted the FBI and gave them the tips about this YouTube comment, where the guy who ended up shooting up this Parkland school said, I'm going to be a professional school shooter. To talk about, you know, what happened there, what went on, what did the FBI do? And he's now trying to kick up a movement to get people to not only do similar things, but to also take it to the next level and make sure that that information is used in a correct way. The FBI had multiple tips about this guy. The students had made the teachers, the principals, the administrators all aware of what was going on here, and still nothing. You know, still nothing happens. The law enforcement was aware that this kid was a problem. You know what law enforcement does with people like this in most cities? I don't even know if a lot of people know this. There are, in every city in the country, at least a handful of incredibly problematic people.
Mm-hmm.
And law enforcement will generally keep an eye on those people. They may even track them throughout the day. They'll keep checking in with them to see where they are. You know, they're not going to go up to them and talk to them, but they'll just go, hey, get some eyeballs on this person. Let's see what they're doing. In fact, I think they did that for a while with Making a Murderer. They talked about doing that, where there was somebody who was so bad that the police followed them all the time, just waiting for the next crime to happen so they could stop it, hopefully.
Which is pretty crazy if you think about it. Like, do you think those folks know that they are being followed all the time, or is it just everyday life where they do crazy stuff and they just happen to be writing it down and close behind?
I have no idea if they're aware of that. I think you would have to be after a while. And they didn't do that. They just didn't do anything. So we'll talk to them about sending that tip to the FBI that now has been unearthed in the wake of this shooting at the high school in Parkland. We'll talk to him at 12:15. The chat about that. Meanwhile, excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, this pollen is killing me, man.
Pollen sucks. Is it Have they mentioned why it's so bad?
They said the oak trees. But right now, I guess the oak trees, the weather, and the rain.
There's always oak trees.
Yeah, but I'm saying, is it have to do with the bees, for example? Like, if there are more bees around, would there be as much pollen?
I think it's more to do with warm days, cooler nights, and the lack of rain. Because I guess when it hasn't rained in a while, all that pollen just kind of sits around. And I'm eating all of it. Just eating it on the way to work, and I'm dying here. So, back to my point. I'm sorry. There is something that we need to talk about, and it involves YouTube, and it's pretty damn mind-blowing to me when you see stuff like this. YouTube has an algorithm, right? And that algorithm favors videos for particular things. That will allow those videos to rank at the top of YouTube when you search for a phrase. So let's say you do a YouTube video about Polly Pocket, which was a toy in the 80s. I don't know if it exists anymore. And you go, here we go, unboxing Polly Pocket. And you show everybody, here's my video. And if your video gets a lot of views, if your video gets a lot of likes, if people tend to watch it for a while, when people search for Polly Pocket, it'll rank right up there on the top on YouTube. And behind Google, YouTube is the biggest, second biggest search engine in the country, in the world, really. YouTube is the second biggest search engine behind Google. And for some reason, there's something in that algorithm on YouTube that favors these conspiracy videos. So anything going on, for instance, now the Parkland shooting and everything that's happening there that happened at Stoneman Douglas, people are searching for that. And up amongst the top results always is conspiracy nonsense. It's a bunch of conspiracy stuff. The latest one being, and this is so offensive when this happens, it pops up after every single major incident, specifically school shootings, crisis actors. And they go, these kids are actors. These kids, they're not real high school kids.
And I have to tell you, I had always heard that, but it really affected me when, after the Pulse shooting, a friend of mine was someone that I've known for years, was one of the people that escaped. And honestly, one of the first whose story went, I don't know, viral is a weird term for it.
This guy all over the news, right?
Yes, 100%. And then right under all the comments of the videos was he's an actor. And I'm like, I know for sure he's not. And it's driving me insane that you're saying that.
Yeah, but you know what? That makes you part of the conspiracy at that point. They're like, oh, of course you're going to say that.
You must be a supporting actress.
You're being paid somehow. And everything becomes this big conspiracy. And the kids, oh my God, they thought the kids at Sandy Hook were crisis actors and nobody actually died. And you go, not only is this crazy, bat-ass crazy, but it's offensive. Like, it's way out of line.
I can't imagine how these people just sit there and put these videos together. If they actually take themselves seriously, is it all just, are they just trolling or being dicks?
It's like a mental disease. The people who believe in conspiracies on a deep level, generally, it's some sort of, something's gone wrong with some neurons or something. And now they're doing that with these kids at Stoneman Douglas. And they're saying, hey, they're crisis actors, not real kids. And somebody said on Twitter yesterday, I guess they were method actors then because they were at the school when somebody came in and shot things up. Really wanted to get to the scene of the crime there. And now that's a question that these kids are facing, including David Hogg, who searched for his name. See if they fix that. Ceiling, can you do that real quick? Go to YouTube and put in David Hogg with two G's. When you did it this morning, like 8 of the top 10 listings were conspiracies that the kid is a crisis actor. Tell me that's not something YouTube should work on and try to clean up. And they're disseminating misinformation worse than anybody else on this planet, worse than Facebook, worse than Twitter. We're talking about how the Russians bought ads that a few million people might have seen for 5 seconds. YouTube is full of this nonsense that says that these people weren't even involved in these incredibly tragic situations that they quite obviously were involved in.
The top two, which say they're, well, they all say they're new, but the top two is one saying he's on TV saying he's not a crisis actor. And then the next one is what looks like a conspiracy video, and it's 21 minutes long.
They're always so long.
They just drag that stuff out.
And they'll monetize the hell out of it, too. YouTube's not only disseminating misinformation, they're making money off of it. A lot of it.
Like, how do they choose what ads go with those videos? I mean, Where do conspiracy theorists and non-conspiracy theorists come together? Is it
seeds?
Maybe seeds or perhaps a brand new linen that you could use on your bed?
The buckets of food, the end of the world products maybe work the best.
One of them says Trump Jr., quote unquote, disgusting for endorsing fake story. Has he endorsed it?
I don't know. I don't know if he's getting involved in this. I know there was an aide to a Republican elected official who was fired yesterday because he was throwing this stuff out there going, look, these kids, they're actually crisis actors. Shut up with that. And then CBS LA goes over to this kid's dad and him and they're saying, are you a crisis actor?
That people think that I'm an actor, but I mean, I don't have time to care about that. I have to keep going.
A Florida school shooting survivor opens up to CBS 2 after he became the target of a conspiracy theory. And some are calling the teen a phony and a fraud tonight.
And adding fuel to the fire is a story our Andrew Fujii reported on last summer. Andrew joins us now with the students' reaction to the skeptics. Andrew.
Well, Pat and Rick,
why I even asked them?
David Hogg last August in Redondo Beach. And now that story has gone viral, with skeptics claiming David doesn't even live in Florida. But CBS News has confirmed he is a Stoneman Douglas High School student.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you for confirming that. Why even give this the time of day? It's like you could put out a video on YouTube that says, you know, this reminds me of when CNN, do you remember CNN during the Malaysian Airlines thing?
Uh-huh.
When there was somebody with a conspiracy theory that the plane flew into a black hole.
Yes.
And Don Lemon legitimately asked, is it possible that this plane flew into a black hole on television? Why give this the time of day? It's not worth it. Let's talk to Adam. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, what's going on, Sean? I wanted to give you guys a little more information about how the algorithms on YouTube work.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, because I have a YouTube channel and stuff, I'm not trying to plug it or anything like that. But when you make a YouTube channel, if you're not too familiar with it, let's just say you make the title of your video David Hogg, mm-hmm. and that's it. That's not going to come up when you search it. But these conspiracy people that try to get a lot of views, they put it as the title, they put it in the description, and they also put it in the keywords.
Yeah.
So if you open up an incognito tab, like on Google Chrome, and then you search it, that'll be the first thing that comes up because it's in all three of those sources.
Yeah, and Adam, I mean, you know as well as I do, it doesn't just show up a lot of times on the top of YouTube. It shows up a lot of times on the top of Google as well because those YouTube videos can rank for that stuff.
Right, you're right.
And then everybody who's searching for more information about this kid is getting inundated with, hey, the kid's not real, he's a crisis actor, and they're spreading all that stuff out there. YouTube has a lot of that stuff out on their platform.
Yeah, craziness.
Yeah, there's... So there's videos for conspiracies about everything that's happened from Sandy Hook to this.
It's pretty insane. I was going to ask him how, like, his YouTube channel is.
Oh.
I mean, he was big enough to not even want to plug it on the radio.
Maybe he's that. Oh, there's some big YouTube channel people in Central Florida.
Mm-hmm. Look it up, man.
There was that, there's the woman who does the toy unwrapping, I think, who's like a former porn star. I don't know. I might be messing some of these details up. But she makes crazy money. There's a bunch of people doing that. And do it really well. Well, they used to. I think that's taking a hit. Let's talk to Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I have a professor at a local school that talked about how he thought the Sandy Hook thing was a whole conspiracy theory, and mm-hmm. he told the actual whole class about it.
What,
he was like, yeah, that whole Sandy, yeah, he's a professor.
At like UCF or so, where is he at?
It's actually Valencia East Campus.
Okay, because there was a guy who did that down in South Florida, and he got fired. The whole lawsuit followed that and everything. But, yeah, I mean, he was even going...
He mentioned it casually, like, during class, and he's like, oh, yeah, that Sandy Hook thing. That I mean, if you go on the internet, he says you can see that all these different things are fake, and it was a total conspiracy.
Just matter-of-factly throws that out there. I mean, it's so frustrating that people, and some of them are not idiots. Some of these people are not dumb people. But they just buy into this, and then they target these kids and go, yeah, you didn't really do it. You're an actor. And you know how this should be handled? All right, I'm not for harming anybody or hitting anybody, but I did positively love Buzz Aldrin's response to this. Did you guys ever see that?
Yeah, I remember that there was a response. I forget what he said.
The guy said to Buzz Aldrin, you never landed on the moon. The U.S. never landed on the moon. And Buzz Aldrin just decked the guy.
Oh, really?
I got in a spaceship, man. I flew over to the moon, and I did this stuff. And you're going to tell me it's a conspiracy we never landed on the moon? Punch to the face. There's a lot of work that went into that. This stuff just is everywhere out there, and you're definitely going to see it. When we come back, we'll talk to the guy who tipped off the FBI about the shooter before any of this happened, all based on a comment from YouTube. Started there as well. We'll do that in a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio. Real.
Tackling sensitive subjects with unparalleled irreverence. You're listening to the News Junkie.
We'll try to get some more of your dispatches in momentarily. I did see a pretty weird story about this whole school shooting down south at Douglas Stoneman. And they said that the woman, the couple that was caring for this shooter, filed court papers demanding control of the money he was due when he turned, I think, 21, either 21 or 25. At that age, he was supposed to get $800,000.
Damn.
Some trust or something he had. So she filed court papers demanding control of the $800,000 inheritance from his mother a day after the school shooting. And I read that and I go, man, that the timing on that seems a little uncomfortable.
Smells fishy to me.
Yeah, she would file that just the day after the kid who was living at her house took a gun from her house, went to the school that he got booted out of while he was living at your house, and shot the place up. That's pretty wild to me. I guess the other brother, somebody else, Zachary, still lives with the 42-year-old couple, and that was the grounds for seeking the court appointment, as he is a beneficiary who's also a minor in her custody, at least for the next week. So she's trying to get her hands on that $800,000 inheritance. You might have let that breathe a little bit more. All right, let's talk to somebody who was very involved in this story, even though a lot of people had no idea for a long time. Ben the Bondsman is the name that he goes by, and he's got a YouTube channel, all kinds of stuff where he's talking about this stuff. Ben, are you there?
I'm here.
Ben, you're from where? From Mississippi, right?
Yes, sir.
And you run a bail bonds company there. And for a long time, you've had this YouTube channel. The point of that being what? I guess just getting the word out there and bringing in new customers and stuff?
Oh, it's just a channel about the industry and what I do and the things that we go through in the industry.
And do you get a lot of comments and stuff on your videos?
We got a few up until this week. Now we're getting a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more attention on you now, obviously, and things are building up there a bit. But on your YouTube channel, Ben the Bondsman, there was a comment back in what? It was September, I believe. And it was from this kid. Let's not say his name because there's no need to get his name out there all over the place. But it's from the guy who ended up shooting up this school. And I mean, it's weird to me. How was he stumbling across your video to begin with? Do you know?
Man, I wish I knew. And the million-dollar question is, which video was it? And I wish I knew.
Yeah, it was one of the videos on your channel. And what was the comment that you saw?
The comment was, I'm going to be a professional school shooter.
Right. I'm going to be a professional school shooter. And so you see that. And I remember quite a while back, Ben, I saw a video on YouTube these kids were doing where they were talking about killing their teacher and brought it to the attention of the media. And they found these kids. They tracked them down and they stopped anything before it happened. So when you saw this, did you have a reaction like, this is bad, I should let somebody know about this?
You know, when I saw it, it just wasn't right. It didn't fit. It didn't fit into anything that would go on my channel. And it was alarming. So somebody needed to know about it. Somebody needed to look into it.
So what'd you do?
I reported it to the FBI. The field agents that came out, I told them, you know, it just didn't look right. I said, hopefully it's just somebody, you know, typing something on the internet that doesn't mean anything, but as it turned out, you know, it did mean something.
So you sent it to their email address, right? Like, what is it, tips@fbi.gov?
Well, I sent it to that email address, but apparently that email address doesn't exist, and it is near impossible to find an email address to send something to the FBI. So I had to make a phone call, leave a voicemail. They got back to me the next day.
All right, so what, these guys, I just imagine like men in black, guys in the black suits pulling up to your house. Is it like that?
You know, when they called and said they were on their way, that is exactly what I was expecting. But in came two guys that you wouldn't look at twice if you were in Walmart.
Right. Just a very everyday person walks in. And these two guys, I guess, from the FBI, they're sitting down with you. And what do they say? What do you say to them?
Well, they just asked some questions. They asked, you know, if I knew anything about the commenter, if I had any history with that particular person, and if there was any way I could pull up the comment, which, man, I wish I hadn't deleted it, but or YouTube deleted it after I reported it as spam. But there's really nothing I could give them. So they took the information, said they'd look into it, and then went on about their business.
Mm-hmm. And then you never heard anything about it again?
Not until the day of.
Yeah, so this shooting goes on, and this kid goes into the school. You guys have 17 people or something dead. And when was the point where you're sitting there and you go, oh, my God, that might be the person who left this comment on my video that I called the FBI about?
It wasn't until I was standing in front of that same FBI agent that I asked him, I said, what does what happened today have to do with a comment on a YouTube channel? And he said, well, it was the same name.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at it, and it not only was the same name, but the spelling of a apparently unique name.
Yeah.
It was very surreal. It was very bizarre.
I don't remember what number they said, but I think at some point they said that his exact name, there's only a handful of people in the United States who have that. So with the tip that you gave them, Ben, it wouldn't have been difficult at all for them to go out and touch base with the person who left it. They could have easily worked through the amount of people who shared that name. Are you frustrated that you saw something, that you said something, and then nothing happened?
You know, my original position was, what's the FBI supposed to do with such limited information? But the more information comes out, the more we find out, yes, it is frustrating. It's frustrating that, you know, I find people for a living. I could have found this guy, and I wish I would have, and then forwarded more information to the FBI.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for you, you're a bondsman. You have to track people down if they owe any money or whatever. If you had this guy's name, I feel like you could have located him within a day, a couple hours maybe, right?
You know, just I'm not the FBI, but I do track people for a living, and I've tracked people down with much less information than a full name.
Yeah, well,
what would you have done had you tracked him down?
I would have just got information on him. I would have probably searched for his name on the internet, looked for other social media sites that he used, taken more screenshots, and then just packaged it all up and sent it to the FBI, and maybe even called the local sheriff's department or police agency for his address.
It's frustrating. Ben the Bondsman is the person with a YouTube channel where there was a comment left by the person who turned out to be the school shooter that said, I'm going to be a professional school shooter. There's the information. FBI has it. And there was so much more. So you're saying, Ben, at first you were like, I didn't give them enough to work with. It would have been impossible to stop this. But the more information you see, it seems like they had quite a bit that they could have worked off of, and there doesn't even seem to have been a touch base with this guy at any point in time by the FBI or high levels of law enforcement.
You know, the FBI is openly admitting they dropped the ball on this, but admitting you dropped the ball doesn't fix what happened. I think there's a systematic issue that I'm working on a project now to try to, you know, fill in some of those gaps myself.
And what's that?
Well, I launched a website last night called isawsomething.org, and there's also a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter for that site. And I want to give people that don't know how to contact the proper authorities a place to go, an avenue to go down to get that information to where it needs to go. One of my points of frustration with this whole thing is, when I went to look for an email address for the FBI, I couldn't find one. Mm-hmm. I found that tips at FBI.gov on some Google search, and it turned out not to be a real email address. So with today's technology world and the way people pass information back and forth, it's all digital. There needs to be a website and a email address that people can go to. And the email address I created is tips@isawsomething.org.
All right.
And it's still in its infancy stage, so I hope people bear with me as this program develops.
All right. Well, thank you, Ben. I appreciate the time, man.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, I can't imagine how frustrating that would be watching that story and going, wait a second. The moment you connect those things and you go, that was the guy. That's the same name.
It brings me chills just hearing that.
And then you see the numbers and the death tolls and all this stuff. You got the students speaking in Tallahassee and all of this. And maybe it's a pipe dream, but could have been handled in such a way that they talked to this kid, that somebody got through. I don't know if things are that easy to fix. I know it's sort of like a Monday morning quarterback situation, but you got to at least use the resources, the information, the tips that you have. And they were out there. Now, so there's still so many things about this story that need to be looked into. I just think the idea that the family, $800,000, and you go, all right, well, it's been, 24 hours or something? 24 hours. Let's ask for the money that this guy was going to get and make sure we have some control on that. I think that might frustrate a lot of people. We're going to get to your dispatches. When we come back, you can send those to us right through the app. It's as easy as can be. Those of you who are new to the show, here's what you do. You search for The News Junkie in the App Store. You download the app. You set up your profile. That lets you not only play live trivia and win prizes, send in dispatches to the show, where you can get on the radio, but do much, much more. And even, you can if you'd like to, allows you to subscribe to a secret show. So get that. We'll get to your dispatches when we come back, but it's never too late to download the app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store, and we'll play your dispatch when we come back. Stay put. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Real Radio. He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is The News Junkie.
So, with Sabrina in just a moment, we'll squeeze in two dispatches. That's it. Two dispatches very quickly, and then get the rest of them in when we come back after live trivia. But just because I promised, here is BDM147.
I really do like fast food in other countries. I went to Spain a couple years ago and really loved that they sold beer. To me, that was the coolest thing ever.
Oh, they got beer at their Burger King there?
I think some of the other countries have a McBeer.
Is there beer at the Burger King? Is it the Burger King or McDonald's in City Walk? The one that's down there?
Burger King.
No.
It's the Whopper Bar.
Am I thinking because it says Whopper Bar that it has beer, but it doesn't actually have beer?
Right.
It's just a Whopper Bar?
It's just a special Burger King that sells Whoppers.
Yeah, but I'm sure you're not the only one.
Right. What a letdown that is.
Of people have gone in there asking for beer and then gotten a burger instead.
Just walk outside. Here's Dad Joe.
Bidets are fantastic. My wife insisted we get one, and I kind of was against it because I am a larger gentleman and just didn't think it was going to do the job. But then she kept pushing, so I got her one. She made me try it. Changed my life.
I'm on board.
Whee!
I think it's a good idea. I like that this is catching on as a trend once again. More bidets, I think, is a better thing for all of us. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
I've been good this whole time, and this jerk over here, pun intended, gets pizza? Screw that, I'm taking my penis out.
That totally makes sense.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey. Are you ready for the next episode? Jazz hands.
I want you guys to go to realradio.fm and check out our Road to Okeechobee page. Realize this morning that we'll be there in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's coming up soon, huh?
Very soon. I know that we have the camp packs and flag prepared, but that's about it.
How do I find that?
Realradio.fm/Okeechobee, or you could search the keyword Okeechobee.
Oh, and I got
O-K-E-E, Cho,
Cho,
and B, B-E-E? Like the buzzing bee, yeah.
All right, I found it. Oh, cool.
So, yeah, you could watch our road there, or perhaps lack thereof, considering I haven't prepared for anything else. And here we go. 48 years ago, the year 1970, this little group right here debuted on American Bandstand.
Now it's much too late.
Jackson 5.
Oh,
Jackson
nice.
Jackson 5 is a red, Christopher. That's right. And 48 years later, look where they are now. Well, one died.
Oh.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, that the famous one.
People are talking about new photos of Daniel Craig where he looks, and I quote, older and waxy.
I saw this. I didn't think he looked that weird. Did you see the photos?
Yeah, I didn't think so either. Not I don't. Bad. Maybe this helps. In other news, he just landed the star role in an upcoming biopic of Mickey Rourke. That was a joke. I made that up. I don't think they're going to do a biopic on that. There's a controversial new show on Netflix where they try to manipulate a man into actually committing murder.
A real show?
I don't know if it's reality-based or it's just like a fiction thing, but if you're asking how they do it, they actually will lock him in a room with Fergie singing the national anthem over and over and over again. Someone was nice enough on the internet to put some backing tracks for Fergie.
Oh, no.
During her national anthem. First of all, have you guys seen the video of all the players and audience members' reactions
yes.
to it?
Oh, no.
I was watching this morning and crying a little bit of laughter.
They would be sitting there, hand over their heart, and then they just, you see like a chuckle. Like
and looking down, laughing with each other. Well, maybe she just needed this backing track. Doesn't sound as bad.
That's better.
The horns.
Didn't Roseanne Barr say something about this and said it was worse than her version, which completely
get out
ridiculous.
Of here.
I mean,
it wasn't as bad as Roseanne's, but Roseanne actually went out there to sing it and did it bad on purpose,
mm-hmm.
which 2018, don't you think that people would find that inappropriate?
I when Roseanne Barr did it and then grabbed her crotch.
She grabbed her crotch.
Oh, yeah. At the end, she grabbed her crotch and people lost their ever-loving minds.
There was a meme going around that Fergie did the national anthem so bad that Kaepernick stood up and told her to stop disrespecting it. Now, over the past weekend, this guy had a bit of a rough go at it.
Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson is right. They're calling it his finest moment. No, they're not. It was probably the worst. The fans who attended the 49-year-old performer's concert at the Paramount in Huntington, New York, were very displeased after he showed up 90 minutes late to the gig before a very abbreviated and awkward show. Now, he emerged in a wheelchair. I guess he, a couple weeks back, had broke his leg. He rattled off three songs, The Reflecting God, Deep Six, and The New S.
Well, you remember when he broke his leg? Wasn't that when he fell off the gun?
Was it the gun? It was a stage malfunction. I don't remember exactly what had happened.
He climbed up that big prop gun on his stage, and then old fat Marilyn Manson flopped over and broke his leg.
He began demanding the audience to show him affection if they wanted for him to continue performing. Then he goes on and rants like this.
I don't wanna love you anymore, so I don't wanna love you with another song, so I see. Whoa, 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 whoa.
What the hell is this?
Just him. They start chanting for a refund, throwing plastic cups toward the stage. His accompanying band, extremely confused, as they start doing a number of songs where he's starting and stopping, then leaving the stage and then coming back. Other strange displays of behavior the beautiful people singer displayed. Overturning an amplifier and calling the neighboring state of New Jersey a asshole. The dope show artist who had a cast on his leg abruptly left the show. Then he came back and did a little bit of this.
Come on, you guys. This is like a f***ing ball again. You guys got to understand that.
He's Wow.
Yeah, and then he starts naming all the people.
Good news is I'm not going home, so I got
I could do better than this.
Fans at the concert, many of whom chanted refund, vented to Newsday about their bizarre outing with quotes like Sean Waltz, who said, "You can't even call this a show. I've been a fan since I was 5 years old. I grew up listening to him, but now he's dead to me."
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't work out well.
Enough.
He sounds like an interesting guy.
Yeah.
Like, one of the actors from the TV show House, and this is the weirdest story because it's just coming out like this week, said that he visited the set once because he was a fan of the show.
Marilyn Manson?
Yeah, it was Charlene Yee, who was towards the later seasons. And on her now-deleted Twitter account, Yee wrote, "He came on set to visit because he was a huge fan of the show, and he harassed just about every woman, asking us if we were going to Scissor, Rhino, and..."
Rhino?
I don't know what Rhino
what
is.
What the hell's a Rhino?
I can't and explain that either, unfortunately.
"Called me a Chinaman."
Okay, well, Marilyn's not the only one losing it. Apparently, Andy Dick is too, because his longtime girlfriend and mother of two of his adult kids has filed to get a restraining order against him. Lena Sved has filed documents over the week requesting court order protection from Dick. We don't know if a judge has signed off yet, but typically a temporary restraining order will be approved until later hearing can be scheduled. Now, the court has classified this as a domestic violence case, but it's unclear what she's alleging Dick did.
Mm-hmm.
Being assaulted by Andy Dick or any would probably be an uncomfortable situation. Now, Andy and Lena have two 20-year-old kids together, so they have not gotten word yet or perhaps have not commented on it. They've been on and off for decades. They appeared on Celebrity Wife Swap in 2013, even though they weren't married and, in fact, weren't even dating at the time. In double fact, their last public outing as a couple was in 2015. Apparently, since then, he's done some beating.
For the record, on Urban Dictionary, they now have an activity chart, and Marilyn Manson really did a favor to the Rhino because there's like no searches for it, and then this week it's just through the roof. The Rhino is when two guys are having sex with one girl, both from behind.
That sounds messy.
One is the big horn, and the other is the little horn.
And this is why you need a bidet.
Mm-hmm.
Social media announced over the week that Steven Seagal was dead.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Sylvester Stallone was dead.
Oh.
Get mixed up with the S's. Of course, they were wrong. The alleged cause of death was prostate cancer, which Stallone supposedly kept a secret until the end. One guy even posted pictures of him looking sickly, with much of his hair having fallen out. Of course, he shared that post on Instagram saying, quote, "Please ignore this stupidity, alive and well and happy and healthy and still punching."
That's when you know you're a big star, when you get your fake death story.
"Adrian, I'm still here." He didn't explain the pictures, but probably, I guess, from a movie. Wouldn't be surprising if it was Creed 2. I guess Rocky battled lymphoma in the first one, spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
But he is asking that everyone just leave him Stallone. Yeah. And that was a stretch, and I'm sorry. Benedict Cumberbatch, he's doing one of those Omaze.com charity contests. You can win a chance to have tea with him, plus two tickets to the premiere of Avengers Infinity War.
What.com? What is it?
Omaze.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, Omaze.
It's like a celebrity auction thing?
Yeah, and they always, I mean, there was one with like Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell not too long ago where you could go like hang out and watch movies with them.
Huh.
They have like really random ones.
They had one recently, and I think it was Omaze or a similar thing, where you could be added to the cast, like the supporting cast of South Park.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about it.
And whenever like there was a scene in South Park where they needed a bunch of townspeople, you would be one of the townspeople.
That'd be cool.
That's awesome. Well, this, you won't be in South Park, but you can go have tea with Benedict, and you get to see the premiere of Avengers Infinity War. He made a video to promote it where he gives a dramatic reading of I'm a Little Teapot.
And go, actor. I'm a little teapot. Short and stout.
This is real?
Yeah.
This is my handle. And this is my spout.
I don't want to ruin the rest for you guys.
Oh, come on.
I don't. There's a very exciting twist at the end. Also, I think I'm going to take on his vocal warm-ups that he uses his very own name for it.
E-I-O-U.
Benedict Cumberbatch met a feminist lumberjack. Benedict Cumberbatch met a feminist lumberjack. You caught me doing my standard vocal warm-up exercises.
Had a great voice.
Benedict Cumberbatch met a feminist lumberjack.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Benedict Cumberbatch broke a delicate luggage rack.
Oh.
Those are two. In case your donation / contest entry money goes towards a charity that focuses on health and education in Nigeria, omaze.com. You're welcome. If you got an STD while starring in a reality TV show, do I have some bad news for you? That's right. Reality TV is not real life. Thus, according to an anonymously sourced Page Six report, Bravo has its stars sign an STD clause that ensures they cannot sue should their behavior on set result in the clap. Not like an applause, just a little oozy. Mm-hmm. Sources familiar with the contract say Bravo washes its hands thoroughly of the potential diseases so it doesn't get sued if bed-hopping stars pick up something nasty while taking part in its shows. Network insiders meanwhile assure that such provisions are common across all networks, especially dating shows. But then ABC jumped in saying they take a more proactive approach by testing its Bachelor finalists.
We have no STD clauses here at iHeartRadio.
Zero STD, none. But very thick windows. Yeah. So we're hoping for that. But if you are trying to be on many Bravo shows, just know when you're applying, you may get an STD. Like, I think they're doing casting for Real Herp Wives of Flare Up County right now. Southern Harm is coming out in the summer. And Below Deck, Crabs Edition. All that available.
I think that's just the regular edition of that show, actually.
Probably. Crabs everywhere. And finally, I guess I'll leave you with this. Some study. I don't think that's, you know, any good. But they do say that this show.
The House?
It's not House. It is an ER show, and I base all of
Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah. Grey's Anatomy is right. New study says that Grey's Anatomy can give you false expectations when it comes to the realities of medical care, treatment, and recovery. Mm. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Gloss
right over that one.
Doctors watched all 269 episodes focusing on 290 trauma patients, found that their experiences didn't necessarily mirror those of real trauma patients.
What doctor has that much free time?
I'm not sure. Doctors that are not helping sick people. In reality, trauma patients tend to take a lot longer before they're ready to go home. And also, 22% of trauma patients on Grey's Anatomy died, compared with 7% in the real world.
Oh, they weren't good over there, then.
Whatever. I was able to diagnose something because of my time with Grey's Anatomy, and I'll go with that on the babe team.
I like that. Was that what instrument is that?
The xylophone.
It sounds really cool.
Olympics primetime coverage, 8 p.m. at NBC. 30th season finale of Amazing Race on CBS. The Death Row Chronicles, Enter Tupac, 10 p.m. on BET. And you can catch Luda on Trevor Noah. Have a great Wednesday, Chosen. Remember,
smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. Live trivia up next. Now's the time when you call us, 407-916-1041. Toll free, 1-888-978-1041. Your apps, get them ready to go. Right now, take your phone out. Get the News Junkie app ready to go. You're going to get a notification in just a matter of minutes to play anyways. So why not get ahead of the curve here and get ready for 105 on the dot when we play live trivia. 407-916-1041. Toll free, 1-888-978-1041. Live trivia up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
In just a moment. And after live trivia, I want to get to this Jennifer Lawrence thing. We'll do that afterwards. Here we're talking about in the next episode about some show where they're going to try to get somebody, convince them to commit a murder. There was a guy I remembered about, Darren Brown. He's this British hypnotist. And I don't know if it was fake or not, but he had this one where he kept hypnotizing this person over and over and then got them at the end to show up to one of his shows in the audience, stand up and try to assassinate him. And watching, I was like, holy cow, Afterwards, I was like, that's probably fake. Probably a lot of the stuff I just saw was fake. But watch that guy's specials. They're super interesting. Darren Brown is his name. If you're into, like, David Blaine and stuff, you'll love it. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
Well, it's live trivia for a Wednesday, February 21st, 2018, and you're going to be playing along in the News Junkie app right about now. Good luck over there. Answer quickly. Get on top of that scoreboard. Get yourself a prize. If you're owed a prize for live trivia, I know a few of you fell through the cracks. Email me. I'll double check. Tips at thenewsjunkie.com and we'll get you all set up. Seven questions, two callers, and you're playing along right now, probably on question two or three if you're doing well. And it's all brought to you by Nations Trucks and NationsTrucks.com. Let's get some players here. How about Julie? Are you with us, Julie?
Yes, I'm here.
There she is. She's ready to go. Did you listen yesterday, Julie?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
How are you supposed to do good at this? You're going to completely fail.
I didn't know you had to listen yesterday, too.
Oh, my God, yeah. Lame. That's the whole point. Do you want to bow out now?
No, I mean, all right. I could try.
People are going to lose their minds on you. Let's see. Patty Pocket, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, Patty Pocket and Julie are players in live trivia today. Best of luck to both of you. Here we go, Julie. Here goes nothing. Number one, while in the Bahamas, the News Junkie crew had a bit of an awkward moment when they were caught making fun of this song by the guy who wrote the song. Was it Tequila Make You Stronger, White Girls, White Wine, and Adderall, Bahama Mama, or Fat Girls, Beer, and Ambien? Julie.
Tequila Make You Stronger.
And Patty Pocket?
Adderall.
The Adderall song. Number two. The first notes of Ed Sheeran's Shape of You had just played when an ice dancer from France accidentally did which of the following at the Olympics? Sliced her partner in the throat, projectile vomited on the ice, exposed her breast, or defecated on her partner? Patty Pocket.
Boobies.
You say boobies? Julie, what do you say?
Boobies.
Number three, a shocked onlooker didn't mince words as he shot footage of a massive volcano. It was erupting in Papua New Guinea. What phrase did he scream in the video we played yesterday when Julie wasn't listening? Did he say, holy smoking Toledo's, what the Fort Wayne, holy shamoka, or great googly moogly? Julie.
I wasn't listening. The first one.
The first one? All right, that's your guess. Patty Pocket, what do you say?
I'll just say the fourth one. The
fourth one?
Right. Yeah.
I'll put you down for that, and we'll go to number four. An unnamed woman on a flight to Russia has gone viral after she was filmed doing this for at least 20 minutes during the flight. Was she reciting a very intense monologue, masturbating, naked yoga, or drying her panties in the overhead vent? Patty Pocket.
She's drying her panties.
Julie, what do you think?
Masturbating.
Okay, and number five, R. Kelly was recently evicted from two of his Atlanta homes, and a Memphis news station decided to troll him by using his own lyrics in the headline. What did they say? Did they say, I believe I'm displaced, it's the remix to Eviction, Bump and Curb, or Trapped with No Closet? Julie.
Trapped with No Closet.
Patty Pocket.
I'll just let her. I'll make it easy. I'll go to the same thing.
Okay, number six. Authorities in China have called for severe punishment to be given to the perpetrator who stole from a 2,000-year-old terracotta warrior on loan to a U.S. museum. What did they steal? The warrior's ear, thumb, testicle, or sword? Patty Pocket.
Ear.
Julie.
Testicle.
And number seven, the final question. Just really focus. Try to get all the thoughts flowing, Julie, and get the best guess possible on this. Yesterday we learned there is a special minimally fermented wine used at masses where the priest is a current or recovering alcoholic. What is that wine called? What am I supposed to say there? Udels?
Mm-hmm.
Udels. Capricin, Mustum, or Bonk Juice? Julie.
Bonk juice.
Bonk juice.
Bonk juice.
Okay, bonk juice. All right. Patty Pocket.
Must've.
You say must've, and we're going to put you both on hold. We're going to go over the questions and the answers. Can she win and not have listened to the show? Is it possible? Might surprise you. We're going to figure out who the winner is here. The battle between Julie and Patty Pocket. Are you ready, Sabrina?
Oh, yes.
Numero uno. What was the name of the song?
Julie said, tequila make you stronger. More like tequila make you wronger. It was Patty Pocket that said, white girls, white wine, and Adderall. And that answer was right, y'all.
Stuck in my head all yesterday. Walking Same. To the car and stuff and just singing that in my head over and over again. It's a good song. There was an ice dancer for France that exposed this, or did this, at the Olympics.
Patty and Julie both said exposed her breasts and wee-wee halls. That was right.
Number three, a shocked onlooker did not mince words as he shot footage of a massive volcano while saying this.
Patty Pocket said great googly moogly, and that answer was wrong, wrongly, wrongly. It was Julie that said, holy smoking Toledos, and my God, you got it right.
So number four, what was that lady doing on the flight?
Julie said masturbating, and unfortunately that was incorrect. Though that has happened before on a plane, I'm sure. Patty said drying her panties with an overhead vent, and that answer was right.
There was a video like a week ago on Live Leak of some guy masturbating on a plane. And the person in the seat, across from them in back one, just started putting their phone out and filming, and then went to the point where their phone was, like, right next to him before he finally noticed and just stopped in his tracks. Like, you weren't going to be caught, buddy. Not a good idea. But that was not a woman masturbating in that case. Number five, R. Kelly. They trolled him with this.
Both the players said trapped with no closet, and my body's telling me yes, but the answer is no. Correct answer, it's the remix to Eviction.
Number six, what did they take off of this terracotta warrior?
Patty Pocket said the warrior's ear, but obviously ears weren't on yesterday. It was Julia said the warrior's testicle. And that answer, no right. Correct answer, it was a thumb.
Number seven, the final question, what's that wine called for priests who might be alcoholics?
The first one was O'Doul's.
Oh, that's what you were going for.
O'Doul's.
O'Doul's.
But Julie went with bonk juice. Because that's what the Catholics say.
That is a thing, though, isn't it?
Bonk juice?
Yeah.
I think Bonk Gang maybe makes bonk juice.
I felt like it was a thing already.
Patty, I think the members of Bonk Gang drink bonk juice.
Okay.
Bonk. Oops.
There's no player named Bonk yet.
Patty Pocket said, must've, and you must have listened yesterday. Got it right. We do have winner of live trivia, and that's Patty Pocket.
All right. Congratulations, Patty Pocket. You are the winner of live trivia. Hang on tight. Stay right where you are. We're going to get you a prize. C-Lane, what do we have for prizes?
Very exciting stuff today, Sean. Pair of tickets to the Monster Energy AMA Supercross at the newly renovated Raymond James Stadium on February 24th, plus a pair of Supercross pit passes for before the show. Those tickets are on sale now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more info. I also have a pair of tickets to UFC Fight Night at the Amway Center on February 24th, courtesy of Metro PCS, the official wireless partner of UFC. Ultimate Fighting Championship returns to the Sunshine State with a thrilling fight card featuring the battle of top 10 featherweights Jeremy Stevens and Josh Emmett. Check out Metro PCS, best free phone event ever. Metro PCS Wireless, figured out.
I've never seen a UFC event live.
No.
I'd like to. I think it would probably be fun. I saw some tickets. Where is it at? Is it here or Tampa?
It's here at the Amway Center.
Oh, cool.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so that's coming up very soon. Good prize there. Let's check the app and see how things are going.
At the top spot, 1,145 points. Juan Shawson has the lead, followed by Squirrel, Fancy Nancy, My Best Friend, It's a Me, John, Myself, C-Lane at 6. Anjawa, the Dida, Merkin, and Jerry Sue's. The back five look like Floridian Kelly, Boost Junkie, Demtizdo, Jimmy Coco Pop, and Government Cheese.
Look at Jerry Sue's out of nowhere and up there in the top 10 doing his thing.
Uh-huh.
Congratulations, sir.
Or a thing, I think.
It's what?
Jerry.
J-R-E?
Jerry, I think, is a lady.
Jerry, it's a female?
Yes. Doing her thing.
Doing her thing. She was doing her thing on there. Congratulations, either way. Her, him, whoever it is, and all of you who are playing along in the News Junkie app. Those of you who are not, take a second right now, download the app. All you have to do is search for The News Junkie in the App Store. To that Jennifer Lawrence story, which is pretty ridiculous, we'll discuss it next and share something with you on See It Now. So keep the app out and handy. Back in a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie. That I found God.
Little secret about me, I am absolutely enthralled by Wolf Blitzer. I am so interested in Wolf Blitzer. He doesn't tell you anything about his life, and that's why I think I want to know so much more. And just for God's sake, his name is Wolf Blitzer. Let's start there. Then he's kind of strange looking. He looks like some kind of hybrid human animal thing. Like he's got a little bit of bear in him or something like that. Maybe wolf, maybe that's where the name comes from. And he has a wife that he's been married to since the 70s, and that's virtually all that anybody knows about him.
Yeah, there's no partying pictures. There's no, I don't think I've ever seen him shirtless.
No, he's got no scandals. He's been on TV for so long, no scandals. CNN, you want big ratings from me, just me in particular? Just put on footage of Wolf Blitzer doing all kinds of mundane things. Wolf Blitzer taking out the trash. Wolf Blitzer making something for a hobby in the back of his house. Wolf Blitzer playing the bass guitar. I'll watch it for hours. He's a weird guy. And I just want to know more. I want to get to know him. He looks like a good hugger, too, if I'm honest. I mean, the guy.
Wolf does?
Yeah. You don't think so?
Name other people you think are good huggers, just out of curiosity.
What do you say? It's generally bigger people, I think. You know,
is he a big guy?
He just seems like it'd be a good hugger. I can't even. That's another thing. I can't tell if he's big or small.
Why don't we get him on the phone and have him thinking that we're going to be talking about, I don't know, something on CNN and be like, a couple questions for you. Do you hug? What are your nipples like? And do you drink?
I mean, tell me you wouldn't want to see a photo of Wolf Blitzer naked. Am I the weird one there?
I don't know, fully naked. I'm down for shirtless.
Don't you do this thing? Am I the only one on planet Earth that does this thing where you look at people like that and I'm like, I can't picture Wolf Blitzer having sex. And that's weird to me. That's strange.
Well, who do you usually picture having sex?
Everybody. You don't picture people having sex? Like you just
No. I could see with people how bad they probably have sex, but I don't look at them immediately and be like, you know, wonder what it's like.
I've looked at people before. I'm like, I can't even imagine. And you're probably wrong most of the time when you take these guesses in life. Maybe Wolf Blitzer is just a stallion, just laying it in there, man, doing his thing. I can't picture any of that stuff. And that's why I like the guy. I'm interested in him. And Wolf, if you're out there anywhere, I just want to hug and I want to know a little bit more. Just want to get to know you. Plus, how cool would that be? I would blow your guys' minds if you guys were just hanging out at the bar and I popped in with Wolf Blitzer. Just hanging out with him. He's my new best friend now.
And I have a spit take right on Wolf.
You would really just be impressed by that, I think. So anyways, there's just a little secret about me. I have a strange fascination with that guy. I don't know what it is.
A wolf fetish.
I do. I just came out of nowhere, but I'm very, very interested and I want to know so much more. I could ask him about questions all day long, but we need to talk about this story about Jennifer Lawrence. We're looking at this photograph. What's the movie she's in? I don't have the story in front of me.
Red Sparrow.
Have you seen the previews for Red Sparrow, Sabrina?
I have not.
This is some movie she's in, and I guess she's naked in it. And Jennifer Lawrence naked isn't anything new. She was in the Fappening release, and she took a lot of photos. And a lot of photos leaked out of her. And she's not shy. I mean, I remember the first story I ever heard about Jennifer Lawrence, which is kind of echoed in this coverage that we're seeing for this movie she's promoting right now. In fact, there was a story about how people on the set of Red Sparrow were uncomfortable because Jennifer Lawrence was naked so much.
I think she was purposely doing things to make them uncomfortable. Like they would get done with a take and somebody would be ready to give her a robe to walk around in, you know, when she's not filming. And she's like, I'm a little warm. I'm not going to wear the robe. Just going to walk around naked.
If I look like that naked, I would probably be naked all the time. I would be very, very okay with being in that situation, like she clearly is. But the first interview I've ever read with her, it was from Magazine, and they said, we went to Jennifer Lawrence's house, and she opened the door naked. You're doing the first Magazine interview of your career, and they knock on the door. And she opens the door naked and then goes, oh, hey, come in, and then runs and gets dressed. And I go, this girl likes to be naked. But Jennifer Lawrence is in a photograph for the movie that she's promoting right now. And people started to lose their minds, as they do, over stupid and silly things. and said, how dare they do this? I saw Jezebel had some stuff up. Theirs wasn't quite as aggressive. So there was a bunch of people that they highlighted their tweets, and that happens with every story of the fake stuff. But
the Glamour headline is...
What'd they say?
This Red Sparrow cast photo says so much about women in Hollywood.
Oh, my God. There's enough problems that you don't have to create them. You don't need to be everybody's protector. She doesn't need you to protect them. The photo has all these guys in coats. And then Jennifer Lawrence in an incredibly sexy outfit.
Yeah, it's a black Versace gown with a plunging V-neck and a hip-high slit in 40-degree weather.
Look at you, fashion police.
Wearing it like it wasn't a big deal at all.
And
I know that was just me looking at the dress and describing it with my own
plunging
words.
Neckline from Versace.
C-Lane could tell you all about this dress, Sabrina. He's been looking at it every time I go in there during the commercial breaks.
Because I've got other stuff to do, but I was also making the blog post that's up on See It Now so that you could see what we're talking about.
All work.
Of course, yes.
All work related. Jennifer Lawrence is in this dress. These other guys are in this coat. Look at the dress she's wearing. It looks sexy as hell. She looks great. And there's nothing wrong with that. So all these people started to try to come to her defense, like, look at this. Hollywood says these guys can wear their coats and stay warm, and she's got to be out there in this plunging dress to plug this movie. But nobody asked her, right? Nobody went out and said, hey, are you okay with this? Hey, do you need some help? It's just like, no, we need to help her.
No, she could have had a coat on the whole time. She might have just taken it off for the photo. I would do the same.
Well, that's what I originally thought. I was like, she is in this picture. I'm pretty sure Jennifer Lawrence, if she didn't want to do it, would just say no. She's a big star.
Right.
She can do whatever she wants. But she responded to this. What was the response she posted?
I mean, among the huge... Facebook post that she responded with 4 hours ago, she said, that dress was fabulous. You think I'm going to cover that gorgeous dress up with a coat and a scarf? I was outside for 5 minutes. I would have stood in the snow for that dress because I love fashion. That was my choice.
C-Lane knows good. A lot and about cut. The story right now. So she's saying, look, stop trying to help me. I don't need your help. I wanted to wear the dress because I liked it. It looked sexy, and I didn't want to put a stupid coat on. So you don't need to save everybody. Find the stories that actually are outrageous and save your outrage for those. Jennifer Lawrence says she's doing A-OK. And just to do a little cleanup here because I forgot to talk about this earlier. I mentioned it and then didn't say anything. And you guys didn't care. Neither one of you gave a damn about this. What story did I not do that I said I was going to do?
That you did you in the beginning of the show?
It was some point during the show. I said, when we come back, I'm going to talk about this. I never talked about it. And you guys, nobody cared.
That was, yeah, good. It was obviously the big drama.
Yeah. Wasn't the big drama.
It was about...
Olympic.
No.
It was poop.
No, it wasn't poop related. Not
emoji.
This one.
It was an emoji story, wasn't it?
I said that somebody does this with their money.
Money.
And what this other person does stuff
that?
With... Did
I
you hear what
that.
Jeff Bezos is doing? Or Jeff Bezos.
Amazon. Yeah. That was
you
it.
You guys don't
I
care.
Was say
you
that.
Didn't care. I didn't pay it off. Nobody cared. It's like, hey, guys, wait. I'll be right back. I'm going to tell you the most amazing story ever. I walk out. I come back, and you guys don't care.
I don't know if it's necessarily our fault.
It's not really an amazing story, but it is a weird thing to spend a lot of money on. And Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos has invested... $42 million.
Damn!
He's got $42 million just to throw at this thing. It's a project he's involved with where they're building a massive clock inside a Texas mountain that will chime every day, a different chime each time, for 10,000 years as a symbol for long-term thinking. That's what he's doing with his $42 million.
So screw the cure for cancer. Let's put a clock in a mountain.
Focused on the mountain clock for now. The clock, which is powered by Earth's thermal cycles, will continue to keep time over the millennia, marking time with a chime once a day rather than each hour, which would have been way more annoying. Its creators hope that this will encourage humanity to consider about their impact on the planet and act as a symbol for long-term thinking. It is buried 500 feet down inside a mountain, and pretty impressive if you look at this damn thing that they've made. It's going to last 10,000 years. It's massive. I mean, it's just absolutely massive. The billionaire behind Amazon decided to build a mountain clock. You got a lot of money when you could throw 42 mil at that.
I mean, is the clock going to be daytime savings, daylight savings?
I don't know.
Is it going to be like the doomsday clock?
It's not going to be like that, I don't think. I think it's just a regular clock. And that's the kind of cash he has. that he can throw it out there and do that. So
Elon Musk, internet for everybody.
Car in space.
Amazon guy, clock.
Gigantic clock for $42 million. But I say all of that. I tell you all of these things only to give you guys some really good news. I'm kind of excited about this, and you both should be too. Sabrina and C-Late, it's not often that I come to you bearing good news.
Mm-hmm. Do tell.
So this is kind of a big moment for all of us. That's a story right here. It's from the New York Daily News. That seems authentic, legit enough for me. I hope that's good enough for you guys.
Site, yes.
We believe in what's happening in this story, I'm sure. Drinking alcohol more important than exercise will help you live past 90 years old.
Yay!
Says a brand new study. Alcohol more important than exercise is the best possible news I think we could have gotten.
And that's why we look so great. Mm-hmm. And that's why we can go up and down stairs during a break and not and be full.
We're very out of breath. We generally make it where we need to go. That's one thing. Cheers to life. Seriously, they say. When it comes to making it into your 90s, booze actually beats exercise, according to a long-term study. I could just hear the people wandering out of the gyms right now. We're wasting our time.
Yeah.
Better off at the bar.
We're leaving LaFitness and going straight to Wally's.
Mm-hmm. The research led by the University of California neurologist Claudia Kawas tracked 1,700 nonagenarians, a.k.a. people in their 90s, I believe. Is that 90s or 80s? 90s, I think. Enrolled in the 90-plus study that began in 2003 to explore impacts of the daily habits on longevity. So what can you do to make you live longer? Just like every time somebody has their 105th birthday or this lady turned 110, here she is barely blowing out the candles as she's about to die. They go, what's your secret? Oh, I have a glass of wine every day. And I make sure I'm with somebody who loves me.
Masturbate in the mirror.
Each day I drink a fifth of whiskey. And all right. So they're saying there's more to that one than exercising. Researchers discovered subjects who drank about two glasses of beer or wine a day were 18% less likely to experience a premature death. That's for two glasses a day. You're 18% less likely to die before 90. We're going to live to like 200.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Do we want to do that, though?
200? It depends on how far science goes at that point in time. Because if you could keep me right here, right now, in this state, this perfection that you see health-wise in front of you, good to go. I'll be 200 like this. But if I'm 200 looking like a stone statue, I don't know if I really want to be.
Reeking of Captain Morgan.
Yeah, it's not going to be good if I make it that long. But they did this study at the University of California. This is a respected person, a neurologist, who was behind this whole thing. And of 1,700 people, they came to the conclusion that will send you to the bar today and feeling good about it, mind you. Enjoying your drink. Saying, I'm doing this for my health because I care about my future.
Who sponsored this study?
Do not know. But maybe
Jägermeister.
There's some people on the texting service that are like, all right, Budweiser, calm down.
It's not. It doesn't say that here. I figure that would be in the story. I don't want to read too much further, though, because the last thing I want right now is to discover any information that will discredit what I'm seeing right here
in front of me.
I want to leave it just right there at that, and we'll pretend like this is the end-all be-all of all reports and studies. Drinking, way more important than exercise. Back in a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
At Real Radio 1041 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. The kind of crew who types the word functioning in bold, italic, and underline. This is the News Junkie.
Live footage of the protests, the walkouts, and the students in Tallahassee at the Capitol try to talk to politicians about gun control all after this Parkland High School shooting. And you know, got a lot of students that are up there that, you know, they got signs that say never again. Never again. They're working on gun control legislation or trying to with the politicians in Washington. Everything seems peaceful and they're all doing what they are legally allowed to do. It's a patriotic thing to protest in this country and try to get your word out there many times, unless you're doing it totally wrong. And many schools in the southeast or at least the southern portion of Florida, including my son's school, had these sort of events and walkouts today. So that continues. Then tonight they got some big town hall type thing where they're going to talk about gun violence in schools, and they're going to continue this conversation throughout the month and into March and even April with some events that are on the way. To your dispatches in a moment, and of course, jury duty. But the official kickoff of this play is now happening.
Oh, Margaritaville.
Jimmy Buffett won.
The Jimmy Buffett Escape to Margaritaville play is having its preview week.
It's a musical, right?
Yeah, it's a musical. It's a big Broadway thing. And the Broadway musical, Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville, all these things going on, really dropped the ball.
What do you mean?
The very first night of the preview for Escape to Margaritaville, the Jimmy Buffett Broadway show, they ran out of margaritas.
Oh, my God.
Which is sort of like the most obvious thing you should really stock up on. They ran out of triple sec, and they said, oh, son of a bitch. They sold out the show. This was Friday when this happened. Bartenders were not prepared. The house did not expect to run out of triple sec, thus having to cut off margarita sales. And bird heads or parrot heads, what are they called, parrot heads?
Parrot heads.
Parrot heads are super nice, I'm sure. But when you tell them there's no margaritas at Margaritaville, the Broadway show.
Chaos.
They're going to get a little bit pissed off.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that a little bit on purpose.
Yeah?
Just a little.
Just to make some news out of
it? Just to say, hey, you know what? Such a good time at the premiere of Escape to Margaritaville. We ran out of margaritas.
They're trying to say this is a party.
They're trying to Elvis this thing.
Yeah, there was another Broadway show. I forgot what it was called. It might have been off-Broadway. And it was supposed to be like a metal band that you were going to watch. And before the show, the members in the metal band would like walk around the place where the play was.
Uh-huh.
And I bring it up because there's not enough, I don't think, of these kind of hardcore Broadway plays. And they used to pretend like they were doing bumps of cocaine and like they would take it up to the next level. Maybe they're trying to fill that void. Come here, get drunk, watch the show.
I just think they need a headline other than Margaritaville musical totally sucks, because wasn't that kind of the impression we were getting before?
I heard it was just all right, you know, just... But better starting week than Spider-Man. Do you remember when that play came out? And everything was malfunctioning.
It was a weird moment for both the franchise and Broadway lovers.
It did not go well, to say the very least. Let's go to these dispatches. Here's Elizabeth with a dispatch.
I dated a Colombian girl for a couple years whose dad was in the Cali cartel. She lived in Miami. Needless to say, she had very nice stuff in her house. She had a bidet, and the first time I used it, I looked in the toilet to see how it works and sprayed myself in the face.
A lot of people have done that with the bidet. I'm still glad this is coming back, though.
I don't know why I thought the twist was going to be that she had a bidet that shot cocaine out.
Now that would have been something else. Here's Billy White Shoes.
Hey, News Junkies. I was in Tokyo 2003, and I was in a hotel that had one of their bidet types on their toilets. My wife had to chase me out of the bathroom. It was the most awesome thing that I ever used. Definitely would use that. I think it's a great idea. Guys, have a great day.
That's why it's catching on. People save so much money.
Trees.
The environment is better off. Let's see how much these things cost. Hang on, let's go to Amazon.
Now, do people use bidets for other things? You know how you can go to Sharper Image and get a neck massager, but it's likely that they're using it for something else?
Oh, you think there's people that use these for pleasure? Is that a thing?
I don't know. It's That's why I'm asking.
I don't know. It could be.
Is it possible?
Somebody out there has definitely at least tried that. They're pretty cheap. I'm looking at these. There's a lot of them. They have hot and cold. You can select the pressure of them.
Hot and cold?
Uh-huh. You put it right on your existing toilet, like $55 for a really good one.
You're not getting hot and cold if you're putting it on your existing toilet.
That's what it says right here. It says,
they might have a little electrical
heater.
Yeah, I guess they do. It says self-cleaning dual nozzle, hot and cold water, non-electrical mechanical bidet toilet attachment, blue and white. Looks pretty slick. You buy that for $58, or for some reason buy it used for $92. I don't understand why you would make that decision, but you buy it for $58, and then in a couple of months, you've saved that on toilet paper. It's not cheap.
Oh. I don't see how, if it's non-electric and mechanical.
He's really focused on this. How is it giving me hot water?
Well, my toilet doesn't have hot water in it.
Well, your faucet does, though. It's using the same mechanism, right? There's nothing on your faucet that's actually electronic.
There's something
happening there. I almost figured it out. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
It's perplexed by this. You know, figure this out.
A little bit.
Hot water, the cold water, and the bidet. How does it work? A jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm. DeWittLaw.com is, of course, their website. You get in an accident and you're going to go up against the insurance companies, you have a lot of people you could reach out to. You see people on billboards with campaigns and on television and all over the place. What you want to do, and this is just advice, you know, even outside of the damn commercial, this is advice that I think works for everybody, is go to a law firm where you're not just another number there. You're not just somebody else in the files at the law firm because they had to generate so much money just to keep operating and they have a huge staff of people. You are an important case to them, as every case at the DeWitt Law Firm is. So when you get into an accident, make sure you call them. Moses deals with the insurance companies, goes in court and fights these cases all the time. So 1-800-DeWitt-LAW, you can call or text that number and ask, ask@DeWittLaw.com. Even when we were over in the Bahamas, one day Moses is out there, he's just got his laptop, he's kicking away. The guy can't stop working, and he will definitely help you out with what you need, as will the rest of the law firm. Bump stock prices have jumped after Trump says he's going to ban these things. It could be that these bump stocks are finally made illegal. And not just bump stocks, we'll be heading into the illegal category, but anything that takes a semi-automatic weapon and makes it an automatic weapon. Any kind of things that you're doing to alter that weapon to make it so it fires automatically, whether it be a trigger crank, or these bump stocks that go on your shoulder and the momentum of the gun shooting just keeps it going, which is allegedly what the Las Vegas shooter used. Those are, when this is pushed out by the ATF, going to be banned very, very soon. One good step in the right direction. Many more things, hopefully, to come. This show here.
Game of Thrones.
Not Game of Thrones.
Breaking Bad?
No, maybe this.
The Wire, Homeland.
Not The Wire, it's not Homeland. It's on Netflix.
Oh, what's
making making a murder.
Making a murderer is correct. A Wisconsin man convicted of murder in the case chronicled in Making a Murder asked the U.S. Supreme Court to toss out his 2005 confession. This is, of course, Brendan Dassey.
Yeah.
And his...
no.
He does have a weird way of talking. Brendan Dassey was the case that got a lot of attention because he was so young and they felt like he was badgered by the police who got that confession from him. And it could be that the U.S. Supreme Court decides whether or not the confession stays in. If the confession goes, he's going to end up getting out.
Speaking of confessions, have you checked out True Confession Tapes on Netflix?
I've seen that. Is it good?
Oh, my God. I went through the entire season in one weekend. It is so good. But, like, don't be fooled because there has been no good outcomes for anybody. Like, they make it seem as
it's real, though.
Real, 100%. Make it seem like, hey, now that we expose how terrible these confessions and how they have been, you know, forced to make these false confessions against themselves, you'd think at the end, like, you know, went to appeals and now they're free.
They're all still in jail.
They're all still in jail. Nothing helped.
Yeah, there's that one. Then there's the other one. Oh, God, what was the one I watched the other day by Andrew Jenks? It was so good. I've heard the story before.
World of Jenks Part 2.
It was not that. Andrew Jenks has a documentary out right now, and it's so well done. You absolutely have to check this out. I'm going to find it here. Oh, it's called Dream Slash Killer. And he launched it a couple of years ago at Tribeca. It's beautiful. It's a really, really interesting and cool story. And a lot of twists and turns about Ryan Ferguson. And if you've never heard of the Ryan Ferguson story, man, that will get you irritated as you're watching along. Dream Slash Killer, if you want to check that out. Police seize cell phones in an investigation into a school overdose. A new thing kids are getting high off of. The item that they're now getting high off of is Phenibut.
What?
Phenibut?
Phenibut HCL, which is supposed to be one of these brain stimulators, like the pills you take that make you more focused and smarter. But this Phenibut stuff can do some other damage and has been, and there's been some overdoses. 7 people taken to the hospital. It's commonly used in Russia, but just keep your eyes out for Phenibut.
Is that something you like pick up at a convenience store? HCL sounds so familiar to me.
Phenibut, HCL, it looks like, it's packaged like a product that would just be on the shelf somewhere. Mm. And they might say that it's for something else, as they do with bath salts and stuff. But this is now a drug making the rounds. And they say that some of the people investigating this say that it's a smart pill, or at least that's how they're branding it. But kids are getting so high, they're overdosing on this stuff. Beware. When we come back, a very, very painful story. One of those ones that, ooh, you have like a reaction to it. It'll be fun, though. I think we'll see when we come back. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Don't miss the Monsters on iHeartRadio. And don't miss watching the Monsters in the Morning on the new iHeart Monsters YouTube channel. Just go to monsters.fm and listen every weekday morning on Real Radio 104.1. We'd tell you to check out the app chat room, but those people are weird and mostly naked. This is the News Junkie.
Call your dispatcher. And just a moment. This is one of those stories you read and you're got like an internal hurt from hearing the details. I'll try to be quick and painless about this. I'm not sure how much of the painless I can live up to, but a woman hacked off her husband's penis and testicles. That's just being a little ASCII to go after both. You either cut off one or the other. Doing both of them is just really a lot.
No, you cut off neither.
I mean, you do neither. Yeah, that's what everybody would hope for. But if you're going to cut off one or the other, you either cut off the testicles or you cut off the penis.
Well, which would you rather? Boys.
Oh, the testicles. Yeah. I mean, because I think I could still operate without that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to take testosterone pills.
But still, at least you still got some going. And just be honest here for a second. Which one looks weirder? If you just had the top part and not the bottom part? Or if you didn't have the top part and just the bottom part? If you just had...
You're asking the wrong person. I think both look weird.
If you just had just the testicles there... A weird looking thing to reveal to somebody. Hopefully you don't have to go through that. But this woman did it and then flushed them down the toilet after accusing him of having an affair. Azad Singh was left in a serious condition in a hospital after bleeding profusely following the attack at the family home in northern India, where a lot of this stuff happens. Please say Sukwant Kahur. Waited until her husband was asleep before beating him unconscious and doing that with a rod, then taking a knife to his genitals. She hacked them off, tossed him down the toilet, and he had to go to a hospital. The mother of two then fled the scene, and they say he was taken to a hospital where he's in serious condition. His father lodged a complaint, and the matter is still being investigated. Ah! You just think about that, and you think about the pain that would be happening.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of things.
What did he do to her that was so bad?
Cheated.
That's cheating.
And then a lot of women, when they get mad about the cheating thing, go right for the genitals.
The last time you used your penis, that's for sure.
Cut off both of the twigs and the berry. It's just a little bit much, I truly do think. There is a woman in the state of Florida who unknowingly posted messages in support of events promoted by Russia-linked trolls during the 2016 U.S. election. She was denying in an interview with CNN that she had been duped by the Kremlin operatives. But this is about the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time and really pathetic of CNN, and I'll explain to you why. So they sent a reporter out there. This woman they found had promoted on social media some of these events that were just protests, either pro-Trump events or, you know, anti-Trump events. And in her case, they were pro-Trump events, which is probably why CNN put the spotlight on her. And I went over there to tell her, you've been duped. These people you were talking to, they were Russians and they were bots and they were
what
trolls.
What part of it in this is a cover-up? What are you saying that's not true or what?
The Russians, I don't care if they were involved or not. That to me is the least important thing.
Just some
lady. They were involved with you. Did you guys know that?
They weren't involved with us. You know, just make sure that you report it correctly, that, you know.
But you guys were involved with being patriotic, right?
Very, very patriotic, but not.
Being patriotic.
The group is called Being Patriotic. She misunderstood him. This guy's going after an old lady who may have been in some conversation with one of these many, many Russian bots and attacking her in her front yard. Like, you did this and you did this. And again, I'll explain in a minute why that's stupid.
It was the group that contacted and helped organize some of these activities that you posted on your own Facebook account.
Those were legitimate.
Those were Russians.
They were not Russians. I don't go with the Russians.
That group was Russian.
I have nothing to do with the Russians. The
well, apparently you did.
No.
I think she curses here in just a second, so be prepared.
You didn't know it, but you did.
Oh, please. When you're talking like this, I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Well, I'm talking what's
were with me were all Trump supporters. Very, very much so.
And okay? All apparently following the direction of groups that were associated with.
And this guy's like hammering through that you've been had. One of your conversations about the event you were throwing was with somebody who was a Russian.
Russians who were
right there. All right. So she said BS a couple of times before she actually said the word. So this guy's out there harassing her. Do you know what you did? You did this and the Russians. And she's going, what are you talking about? What's happening here? This is why this is stupid. CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and every major media outlet in this country, they promoted, talked about, and discussed these very same rallies and events. They were out there and they were hitting the streets, events that were orchestrated and launched to divide our country by the Russians. And all these reporters were out there on the scene reporting live from the scene. They did the same thing. They fell hook, line, and sinker for the same thing. But they track down this old lady who likes Trump, and they're going to harass her in her front yard about all this stuff. And there's so much coverage of this where you hear them out at these events. Again, same exact situation. Russian social media accounts put together these protests or rallies, and then there's the media outlets after. Here's some of this, where they were out there covering those very same events.
Now, this is a lot of different groups of people who have come together with no necessarily official leader. And that's been some of the criticism. People have said, well, what's the point? Do you have all these
MSNBC
groups
out
coming
there
together? But what they're saying is the point is they know they can't change the results of the election because that is in the can. But what they say is they want to come together and show America that love really does win.
It's another network.
Alex, I have to say I've covered quite a few protests from the Black Lives Matter protests, and this is something different. It's something unique. The energy here is electric. I spoke to
that woman when she's saying she's concerned that black people will be shot in the street. Did she back from that at all, or is that a legitimate concern for her? Because that's scary.
CNN. All these people, they were all out there. They all fell for the same thing. And then you find this old lady, and you're like, ha-ha, here's what happened to you. You got duped by the Russians, and you go after her on her front yard and confront her. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird that they don't understand that they're being ridiculous and calling her out on something that they did the very same thing. So, yes, this happened. Yes, that was a thing. Yes, there was a group of Russian trolls and bots with social media accounts. Some of them had a decent following, and they did whatever they could to divide us as a country. And you fell prey to that too, CNN. and then you go out after this old... God, it's just really, really stupid when you see some of this stuff. Let's go to some dispatches and see what's going on in your world. Here is Tuck Frump with a dispatch.
Oh my God, so many things to cover, so I'll be ridiculously quick. You see that really smoking hot girl in the line at Publix who has toilet paper? You don't think, ew, she has toilet paper. You say, thank God that's not Monistat. As far as bidets are concerned, bidets all day, bidets all day, bidets all day, bidets all day. Yeah. Come on, C-Lane, get on the train, brother.
Choo-choo.
You're wiping yourself with shavings of trees. It's barbaric. Wouldn't you rather have a cool, refreshing stream of jet water, you know? And then as far as the lady, you know, the attractive woman who's bending over to pick up her dog poop, Sean, you're focusing on the dog poop and not the nice ass in front of you? Come on, people.
It's distracting.
Sabrina's the only one who's on the top of her game today. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Because I bidet'd this morning.
Thank you, Tuck Frump. We've come a long way. We really have. And somebody just sent me, I sent this to you, C-Lane. Maybe we could put it on See It Now. They just came back from Japan, and they said this is the toilets in Tokyo. Heated seat, warm water bidet, and I love the little drawings that they have on the buttons. It's like a butt with like a water fountain going up to it, and there's a lot of different options here. Then a flush button. We've come a long way. It used to be you used nothing or some leaves or something. Then for a while, and this is kind of stunning and very, very weird but true, we used corn cobs. That's what people used. For a while, you'd go out to the outhouse and you would use a corn cob.
I'm still like, unsure as to the logistics.
I guess
that.
You just kind of ram it back and forth or something.
No. That you can't work. Just. Okay. They were using corn cobs. Like, were your butt cheeks the bun or were you putting the whole cob?
No. You weren't putting it in. You were just kind of.
It was like a plunger.
Yeah. You were just kind of bringing it around there to do things. And then they used the Sears Roebuck catalog, which is such a weird thing. There was a point in time way back when, before toilet paper was widely accessible, when almost everybody used the Sears Roebuck catalog that they would send you because of the feel of it. And then I guess Sears Roebuck decided, hey, let's change the way we're doing this. And eventually we got toilet paper. Great, sure. Now we need to go to the next level. The Japanese are kicking our ass. We could do even better than this, I think. A new age toilet. You got speakers built into this thing. You got lights on it. You got the bidet going. And the world's a better place. I think that's what we need. I think that's the next level we need to go to. And people, there doesn't seem to be a lot of disagreement there, at least. Mm-mm. Here's Squirrels My Nuts.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just haven't sent in a dispatch in a while. Just wanted to say hi. The lady on the traffic report, the Adamus Toledo pole.
Yeah.
By God, man, that woman needs to swallow some of that spit in her mouth. Every time she talks, all I can hear is just, and it's just so annoying. I have to turn the radio down every time she talks. I can't stand it. Oh, it drives me crazy.
Well, leave her alone.
I mean, other than that, y'all have a good day. I'm out.
All right. C-Lane, next time you walk by Adamus Toledo Pole's desk, can you make mention of that and just maybe just say something so we can work on that?
I mean, I would have to get a tour of the building that she works in.
No, but isn't she right here hanging out with all of us? Just like,
yeah. I mean, a good friend. I'll Facebook her so that I don't embarrass her face to face.
Adamus, we'll let her know. Thank you, Squirrels My Nuts. Quickly before the break, this has to be a fake story. It just does. Because if not, everything changes. A 14-year-old boy in Indonesia has become the talk of the town where he lives. He's from Kabupaten Gawa in the South Sulawesi province. He can lay eggs, according to him, at least. Akmal Rusli is laid two fully grown chicken eggs at a local hospital. The hospital had taken several x-rays in which two eggs could be seen nested in the boy's lower abdomen. This has to be
fake. So we ate it.
The latest occurrence happened about 11 a.m. where he laid another egg. According to, if you took a regular egg, like a bird lays an egg, and you took it and tried to swallow that, it would break inside you somewhere, I would imagine.
I don't know, they're pretty tough.
But it's an egg. You drop the egg and it breaks. It's going to go all the way through your system and not break at any point?
Isn't there a test, though, that you can, you know, throw an egg and it smashes, but you can't crush it in your own hand.
It's like if you put it in your palm and apply pressure to it in one particular way. But if you just grab an egg and squeeze it, it breaks. Mm-hmm. It's going to break yolk everywhere. They say, this kid can lay eggs. The doctor scanned his body and removed the eggs with intact shells through his anus.
Oh, my God.
However,
so he wasn't actually able to lay them.
Not these ones.
I killed them.
However, according to Akbal, this was not the first time he laid eggs. He said over the last 2 years, he's had about 18 eggs removed from his rectum. The father said, I cracked the first egg, and its content was all yellow, no white. That your son laid an egg and then you broke the egg? A month later, I cracked another one. Its content was all white and no yellow. This is not making any sense. They say that this is a health condition called corpus alienum, or the presence of foreign bodies inside your own. I think this is just, it's got to be fake. That's got to be a fake story. If there is a guy out there laying eggs, that would be pretty damn cool, though. Back in a moment. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Would it?
Yeah, I you wouldn't see if they said, pay $5. Come one, come all. See the boy lay an egg. I'm watching, number one.
Now they're doing that, too.
And then I want to leave the egg out and see what happens. Let's give it some time.
Or, if you had the opportunity for an extra $5, would you eat the scrambled egg version of the egg that he just laid?
I think I might. I think I might, too.
It's disgusting.
I would like to eat a gigantic omelet out of an ostrich egg. I'd like to try these things. I'm trying to explore more things as we go along in life. Back in just a moment with drama in the Dallas Mavericks front office that's making a lot of waves today. What happened? What's going on? What's next? Details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio. Real.
Radio. 104.1. The game of magnets. Taking over the world one terrible person at a time. This is the News Junkie. I like that show.
I'm telling you, this Wolf Blitzer thing, I'm really starting to focus in on it. And we all got an email from Evil Eye, who listens to the show all the time, always sends stuff in to help out when we get caught up in anything. And this is another reason. This is another reason why I think Wolf Blitzer is so interesting and bizarre, and I want to just know more about him. It's a video of him after a tornado talking to some lady. And he goes, but you got to thank the Lord, right? You got to thank the Lord. And it's really awkward, and she's an atheist, and it just is bizarre.
You're blessed. Yeah. Brian, your husband, is blessed. Brian. Anders is
Brian.
Blessed.
Brian, he just... Brian!
Yeah, Brian, you like Brian, huh? That's your yes. dad. But we're happy you're here. You guys did a great job. Yeah. And I guess you got to thank the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Do you thank the Lord for that split-second decision?
I'm actually an atheist.
Oh, you are. But you made the right call.
Yeah, yeah. We are here, and you know, I don't blame anybody for thanking the Lord.
Of course not. So.
Oh, that's a nice
all right.
answer.
Anders, want to try one more time?
Try to give him a high five.
All right, good for you.
Oh, no.
Wolf Blitzer is a weird and interesting character. I need to know more. I just have to know more. I saw a video of him as well where he was singing, well, I say singing, but just kind of sang the lyrics to Despacito for some reason.
Why?
I think it was on New Year's Eve or something. And it was Wolf Blitzer. See if you can find that, C-Lane. It was Wolf Blitzer singing songs that were the hits, I guess, on New Year's Eve. And he did like Despacito. I think he did the Justin Bieber song. You F Yourself or whatever the hell that was.
Love Yourself.
Yeah, Love Yourself. He did that one. He's just an interesting character. I don't know what's going on with him. I want to know more. Is this it?
Yeah. This year's biggest hits. You may remember this smash hit of the summer when Justin Bieber teamed up with my old friends, Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee. It's one of my favorites. Let me sing the words to you right now. Coming over in my direction. So thankful for that. It's such a blessing, yeah.
That's not singing.
Turn every situation into heaven, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you are my sunrise on the darkest day. Got me feeling some kind of way. Make me want to savor every moment slowly, slowly. You fit me, tailor-made love. How you put it on. Got the only key, know how to turn it on. The way you nibble on my ear, the only words I want to hear. Baby.
Take it slow so we can last long. That's right,
wow.
Guys.
There that he goes. All right. I mean, that's a man with some stories. That's a guy who's got some stuff going on.
It reminded me of, I think it was Conan, that remember when Britney Spears was married to Kevin Federline?
Yeah.
And Kevin Federline wanted to be a pop star.
Yes, and he wrote that great Popo Zao song.
Popo Zao.
Popo Zao.
And parts of the song, or maybe the whole song, had leaked out to, they probably leaked it themselves to try and get some sort of press.
Uh-huh.
But Conan had on the dude from Inside the Actor's Studio.
Mm-hmm.
What's that guy's name?
I know who you're talking about. The bizarre character.
James something.
James Lipton?
James Lipton. He had James Lipton come on to do a dramatic reading of Popo Zao, and it was hilarious.
There's something really interesting about him. I just want to observe him. Like every once in a while, I used to go to what's it called? The zoo in West Palm Beach, Lion Country Safari.
Yeah.
And when you go to Lion Country Safari, you stay in your car and you drive through and you go through all these enclosures and here's the lions, here's the tigers, all that stuff is out there. At one point, you get to the island with the chimps and it's really cool. You sit there, park your car for a second and watch.
Chimp Island?
Chimp Island's out there, and normally there's somebody in a chair with a pad of paper and they're just watching the chimps all day long and they're taking notes. This happened, that happened. They probably know them all by name. And they're really just observing the animals and trying to learn from them. I want to do that with Wolf Blitzer. Just like sit in a bush, watch him.
I was wondering where this was going.
Yeah, watch him doing his stuff. And then I'll be like, Wolf did this. And I just want to observe him for a little while.
Radio DJ arrested after he was found in a bush outside of Wolf Blitzer's home.
And now that I'm thinking about it, it does sound a little bit creepy. I have some bad news, and I hate to do this to you guys, but I gave you good news earlier. So I feel like that maybe makes this make sense a little bit more.
As long as the bad news isn't alcohol is going to lead to an early death.
No, it's not going to reverse that. Alcohol is still better for those people who want to live into their 90s and beyond than exercise. But we have a death.
Oh, no.
And...
Oh, I know.
The oldest polar bear in the United States.
Oh, I don't know.
Thought maybe you were really worried about
it. You're talking about the evangelist.
Yeah,
you're
talking about Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. No, I don't care about him.
Rest in peace, bro.
He's a huckster. He stole a lot of people's money. He's a terrible human.
Now he's stealing Jesus' money.
I do care about this. The oldest polar bear in the United States, Goldilocks, has died at 37 years old.
Fatality.
Very, very sad. Is at the Philadelphia Zoo. And they're now mourning the loss of one of their beloved polar bears, Goldilocks, who is the oldest polar bear in the country. 37 years old. That's not too bad, man. They get pretty old. I don't think they live anywhere near that. Yeah, when they're not in captivity, they only live 23 years, which is kind of a terrible bonus. You don't get to wander around and enjoy life for 24 years. You're going to be in this cell for 37 years.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's sort of how... being a human is.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? You're free, but if you get to be 90, you're going to be stuck in a chair and just kind of not free to roam around at will, but you might just be a little kind of trapped in there for a while.
It doesn't feel like all that much of a bonus sometimes, but during her many years in Philadelphia, Goldilocks delighted people of all ages, and she inspired them to care about polar bears and conservation issues endangering them, and that is exactly what zoos are supposed to do. They do serve a purpose. It'll get people to care about these animals, have a connection with them, and I mourn Goldilocks today.
Rest in peace, Goldie.
The oldest polar bear in the U.S., dead at 37, but living on in all of our hearts, I believe. When we come back, final dispatches, stories that did make the cut, and today I'll learn to wrap everything up for a Wednesday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Viewing your love-hate relationship with Facebook.
I did not sign up for this thing to get harassed by every moron in this office.
In which direction, we are not really sure. Facebook.com/RealRadio or Orlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting Seacoast. Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is the News Junkie. All of my best friends like to go and get all fucked up. And they talk about all the lies they never got to
live. All they're still waiting for some sort of invitation. Final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today we're going to wrap everything up for a Wednesday as we see the Parkland survivors in the state capital of Tallahassee putting pressure on some of the political leaders there. Turns out the leader from the Senate did actually meet with a big group of them. There was another group that didn't have a meeting scheduled at all that was refused, and then they got angry about that. But most of them are out there. They got their signs. There's a bunch of school walkouts. I actually got a, believe, was that a text or tweet? I never know what anything is anymore. I got a woof. I got something from somebody whose child, here it is, on Twitter. 9 kids at West Orange High School walked out at noon, which is when a lot of the schools were doing the walkouts. The principal came out to speak to them and ended up turning around and walking off. They gave them all lunch detention. My son was one of them, she says. And there's the photo of all of them out there. They got these little signs that they're holding up, and they're doing that at their school while many other kids around the country are. They got tiny little baby steps, I think, in the right direction with bump stocks and trigger cranks and other things that make semi-automatic weapons, fully automatic weapons, being banned very soon by the ATF. That's good. Now what about background checks? And even the president seems to be on board with this. So what now? I think one of the easiest things, besides some major changes related to mental health, major, major changes are needed there. One of the easiest things is explain to me why you can go into a gun store right now. And if you want a handgun, you fill out the stuff, you do the background check stuff, and they make you wait a cooling off period of 3 days before you get the handgun. You want an AR-15 or some sort of rifle, you go in there, you do all the same stuff, no cooling off period. So I need a cooling off period for a handgun, but I don't need to cool off at all if I want a rifle. And that doesn't add up to me. That doesn't make sense. If it's supposed to stop you from committing suicide, which is what many of those laws are for, or stop you from creating or committing a crime of passion, okay, fine. You can commit that same crime, even more so, with an AR-15 than you can with a handgun. So I would imagine an easy, easy fix there on one level would be a 3-day cooling off period for everything. You can't just go in and grab one of these. There's no last minute need for a gun. Oh, somebody's going to break into my house tonight, so I've got to go get that. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And that's what we need to do. We need to fix these issues that are obvious and simple. And certainly adding that to all guns and not just handguns would be one thing that we could do. So many more needed. And all these, I think, reasonable. And people across the country seem to be falling in line with this. It's like 60-70% of people want some sort of sensible gun control laws. Not crazy, not taking your guns, not limiting the amount of ammo you can, none of that stuff, but just some sensible stuff to try to fix some of the broken elements out there. Here's Smalls with the dispatch.
Listening to the podcast from yesterday, and here's my opinion on something. The one thing I feel like a lot of people aren't talking about is just because if we change these rules on the guns and make it harder for people to attain guns, if a student or anybody for that matter wants to go into a school and just cause mass mayhem,
yeah,
they don't need a gun to do that. They can just go in there with a knife. They can make a bomb. They can take a bow and arrow, crossbow, whatever, and just do what they want.
All right, Smalls, you got to be real about this. You got, at some level, you got to be real when you're coming to these debates and conversations. If you were in a room and I said I'm going to send somebody in and they can either have a knife or a gun, you're going to take the knife every single time. You're going to take the knife every single time. Why? Because it's less of a weapon of mass destruction. And that's just the truth in a case like this. Are all these changes or anything that does end up happening going to make this perfect and make it so there's never a school shooting? No, it's a pipe dream. But it doesn't mean you can't make things better or at least try. The idea that some people are out there with where they go, well, that's not going to stop another one of these school shootings from happening. So why? Why even do it? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, unless we have the silver bullet, the perfect scenario, we got this will fix it all. Unless we have that, why even try? It's worth it. It's worth trying. Here's Mumbles.
Now I know why I am the way I am. You know, when you are allergic to peanut butter and you've almost died 3 times, that does something to your mental stability. I thoroughly agree that there's something about me that's just slightly off.
That makes sense.
It's not a negative thing. I guess I utilize that with my artwork in my mouth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Sorry about your allergy, guys, but once you almost die...
Oh, come on.
It's like doing heroin. For peanut butter's like doing heroin. Good Lord, for me.
I'm still dealing with this. It's all the pollen. There's so much pollen. We're at the top of the pollen scale in Central Florida. If you're feeling weird or you got a throat thing going on or your nose is stuffy, that's maybe why if you're allergic. Here is Waj.
Hey, Sean.
Hey.
I found an article in theguardian.com.
Yeah?
Apparently there's a big boom on fried chicken in Great Britain. They said that KFC started it out, and now they have over 800 KFCs there.
Really?
And they do have competition. There was one called Dixie Chicken, Tennessee Chicken, Hollywood Chicken. And they said that fried chicken accounts for 4% of all the fast foods being consumed in Great Britain, right?
I think there's a lot of people around the world who, when they try out all of our foods, all the American foods, Southern food mostly, when they try them out, fried chicken's the one they like. In Japan, they love fried chicken.
Oh,
yeah. They love them some KFC.
Oh, I love fried chicken!
In the UK, I guess they love them some. But the UK is a mess right now. It's a mess in the fast food world. The KFCs, because of a shipping problem, are going to be shut down for like a month maybe. And then this, a McDonald's in England, a person there bought some mozzarella sticks because they had brought them back to their menu for a limited time. Catherine Murphy entered, decided, I'm going to get the three-piece mozzarella sticks. That sounds delicious. The 24-year-old opened the snack and bit in one, only to discover the limited edition mozzarella sticks were missing the vital ingredient, no mozzarella. I was devastated, she said. I was really looking forward to them because they're my favorites, and it was just hollow bread. Now, the real question is, how did that make it into a news story? That I'm confused by, but it's making it clear that they have some fast food troubles over there. Muff Mouth!
Ha-ha! What's going down, junkies? Good to have you back. I'm glad you had a good time in the Bahamas. I just wanted to... I know times are hard, and people are feeling stressed out lately, but if you are in the left lane... and people are passing you on the right side.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That means you need to get the hell over.
I'm not going fast enough.
Because you're driving too slow, and there's other people that are trying to,
be
know,
calm.
To get around.
Be calm.
Anyway, take it easy, all right.
Thank you. That was a weird exit. Here is Tank Blaster.
My wife works for the local courts. And it's actually pretty hilarious and sad at the same time as to how often the system actually fails us and lets, like, repeat offenders out constantly.
Yeah. It's a complete and total mess. The further you get into the justice system, the more screwed up you realize it actually is. The Mavericks story I was going to tell you about, the front office story, just read it for yourself in Sports Illustrated right now. Pretty crazy, and Mark Cuban says he's embarrassed by it and going to try to change the culture there. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Wednesday, February 21st, 2018. Seven stories. They're from around the web and around the world. You've heard this a million times by now. Thank you. Here we go. Let's get to it. C-Lane 60, Sabrina 57, 4 points up for grabs. And the first one's about this guy.
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye is right. C-Lane, you were right there.
Marv.
You stopped right at Marv and then didn't say the rest of it. Marvin Gaye's real last name is Gay, without the E, though.
Gay.
His father was a crossdresser, making Marvin a target of bullying. It was because of this, added with rumors of Marvin's own homosexuality, that Marvin added an E onto his last name when he became famous. Now, if you really wanted to change your last name to something that wouldn't put you at issue with that, putting just an E on the end of Gay, I think you probably could have gone a little further. You could
Marvin
change
Flamer.
You could have just changed the whole thing.
Marvin Straight.
Today, I learned a bald eagle somehow made its way to Ireland in 1987. It was so tired when it got there, it had to be returned via airplane. I like to picture the eagle is going, you sons of bitches, I flew all the way over here. Moment the eagle gets there, exhausted as hell, somebody puts it in a plane and brings it right back.
I've had to go to Burger King.
Today I learned this show! Oh, I'm sorry, this one.
Price is wilding out.
Might be a little old for you.
Living color.
Martin, the show with Martin Lawrence in it. Today I learned he's permanently banned from hosting Saturday Night Live. The comedian hosted once in 1994 and performed a monologue where he criticized the vaginal hygiene of women. The rant, in which he went into detail about what he felt was a drop in feminine hygiene standards, will never be re-aired.
Aww.
And they told him, you are not welcome back here, Martin Lawrence.
Oh, people have done worse since, right?
I don't know if they've done a lot of like feminine hygiene kind of monologues since then, but somebody try it out, see if it still works. Today I learned when tater tots first hit store shelves in 1956, people didn't buy them because they were very inexpensive and there was no perceived value. When they raised the price of tater tots, people began buying the product like crazy, and it really took off at that point in time. It was done by Or Ida, and it's a brilliant idea. They said, what are we going to do with all the leftover potato pieces we have? Chop these sons of bitches up, turn them into tater tots, make some money out of them.
What do we do with the potatoes?
Who doesn't like tater tots now? Today I learned this show.
Star Trek.
Star Trek is correct. And Star Trek features many characters that I know and love. I've seen every episode, seen all the movies.
Like Data.
The Force is with you. Is that a thing? No.
Live long and prosper.
Oh, live long and prosper. And I know Data.
Yeah.
Spock.
Uh huh.
Captain.
Scotty.
Pippin.
Captain Hibbard. Is that a guy? Leonard Nimoy was Spock, though, and he released multiple albums, including a two-sided record he called Two Sides of Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, creative.
One side featured him singing songs as Spock in the character. The other side featured songs related to him and his personal interests, and it didn't sell too many copies.
So dudes?
Mm-hmm. Today, there's a restaurant in New York that doesn't employ chefs. They employ grandmas. Every day, a different grandma from around the world designs her own menu, and that is what they feature at Enoteca Maria. Traditional recipes from your grandmother. And a new one each evening walks in and creates the food they've been cooking for their entire lives. I guess you just have to hope you got a good grandma behind the controls and the grills and everything. And finally, today I learned this band.
And the Sublime.
Sublime is correct. Sublime made this album, this very album and song, 40 Ounces to Freedom. By sneaking into the music department at CSU Dominguez Hills after hours and recording all night long, there was a student at the school who approached the band and said, look, just go in here. Nobody cares. Nobody notices. They did it. They recorded this album, and the rest is history. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow for the Monsters of the Morning. Stay put. The Phillips Files coming up next, followed by a Corporate Time with Tom and Dan, all right here on Real Radio.